Welcome back to another edition of Noobs from the Front, the podcast by gamers for gamers that features Flames of War, board games, war games, RPGs, SVGs, BFGs, HMGs, history books, movies, sci-fi, fantasy, miniatures, paint, and anything that requires a very tiny brush, but mostly Flames of War. We are broadcasting to you live from the McLaughlin Tower, located in beautiful Richmond, Virginia, and now the host of Noobs from the Front and founder of the WWPD International Network, the man who puts the terror in tank terror, Steve McLaughlin!
Oh, that is correct! And I am joined, as always, with Luke, Black One, Melia, and Dirty, Filthy, No good, Low-down, Grubbin', Dirty-ass John.
Homeless John.
Damn! Homeless John.
That almost became your name.
Did you
homeless
say
John.
Noobs it from was. The front? It sounded like you said noobs from
well,
the front.
Well, I mean, hey, look! We're all noobs now.
We're all back noobs. To noob That's right. level.
That's right. That's right. Noobs all right. From the front. Guys.
Noobs from the front.
That's like what it. Our tournament record said.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Oh, I got usurped as the top French player on rankings.
Did Panhard Brother take you out?
No, Panhard Brother. Nah. It was, I don't remember who it was now. Cleves might be number two. I think someone else is number one, but I lost it. I was the number one Frenchie.
Yeah, well, you gotta play him again.
And now with the new version 3 rules, the French got much better.
They did.
In every way.
Yeah, but we're not talking about that. This
yeah, today we are going to be talking about...
We're going to be talking about... World of Tanks?
We're going to be talking about World of Tanks. We're also going to be talking about what you can do in your garden to grow foliage and terrain so you can model... You know, your landscapes.
Got,
on your
got some tips from Panzerwork Studio.
That's
on that.
Right. That's right. We're going to be talking about the latest installment of Twilight.
That's yep. right.
Exactly.
Yep. And we'll also be covering the new Vampire Diaries TV show that's come out, which is, just not...
Speaking of which, what's that terrible show, Being Human? I keep hearing and it's like, a werewolf, a vampire, and a ghost living together. It's like, this is seriously the worst premise for a TV show.
Shut your goddamn mouth, Steve McLaughlin.
Okay, my bad. I was a producer.
I just started watching that show.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Wait, are you serious?
I did. Yeah. Really? They have it. I watched it season one on Netflix.
I have to go.
You can shut up because you're the guy who said, now a year ago, I was talking about Doctor Who and you were like, yeah.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
And then you send me text messages. I'm getting ready to watch End of Time right now.
I can't wait.
You want me to tell you how it ends? No.
Yeah, because Lydia and I saw one episode. It was the Agatha Christie episode. I mean, like 2 or 3 years ago or something. And we were like, this looks so stupid. I hate this show. This is retarded. It's awesome.
I don't know. It's okay. It's
well, that's the thing, is because it's so silly, you can kind of sit down with Lydia. We can kind of be laughing about
but
it.
But this is what, for both of you, and this is what I have not seen, there is a British version of this. Now, the American version is on Sci-Fi right now, but there's a British version of Being Human. Same
name,
title.
I think my wife watched that.
And so I want to check that one out, too. But anyway, we've got a lot of stuff going on, actually. We are going to be talking about version 3.
Of course we are.
And we are not the experts yet. Why are you pointing that to your...
Yeah, I don't...
Because the book booby says
traps?
Booby.
Oh, okay. Good God.
Booby traps.
You're fired.
All right, so... As we always do, what have we been up to?
What have we been up to? Let's see. Well, we had a big event down in Fort Lee, Virginia. That was Ronzio, right?
Flames of Ron.
Flames of Ron. It was a big Italy-themed tournament. And Luke, I believe you guys won an award at that tournament.
We did. Eric Turner and I, me and the ET, I got to tell this story. First of all, so there's a lot of rules and stipulations in building the list for the Ron tournaments. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't want to deal with it. So I just was like, Eric, go ahead and build the list.
So he built one job was what?
To build the list. That was it. I provided all the figures, everything like that. So he builds the list, and I did not proofread him. I did not double check him. He said, yeah, I took this out of Fortress Europe, blah, 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 blah. This is the 34th Infantry Division, historically accurate units, all this stuff. And then he came back to me the day before the tournament and said...
Oops.
I printed it out just to make sure, printed out the Easy Army thing, and it said, taking from Turning Tide. And I said, Eric, Turning Tide, not Italy, man. Different things. So we literally had to do a list rewrite. I was up until 1:30 in the morning. I actually, this is no joke, you guys know this, but the paint was drying on my 57 millimeter guns. At, like in the case, waiting as we drove to the tournament.
Nice.
Like, it was
nothing like the last minute.
Yeah, exactly. I tried out that new green camouflage paint for the American. Works really well, by the way. The ones you buy at Lowe's, Home Depot, whatever. But so yeah, we did. It was infantry ace award or whatever it was. We had more infantry assaults than, but I don't even know how many infantry assaults we had. I mean, it was over a dozen.
Yeah, you guys were killing it on that city board.
Yeah, we did. We were just like rabid animals. Just like we saw something, it was like, oh, heavy machine gun nest. Assault.
Yeah,
we were assaulting everything. So that was fun. And let's see. And James Renteria won the overall tournament.
Sure did.
Right?
Hey, he crushed us. He blew up three Tigers.
This is the best story.
I have deja vu about this.
So. So Steve will tell you all about getting promoted to the level of incompetence at Ronzio, but the German side was horrible, right?
Yeah, well, we got absolutely hammered.
Yeah, we got crushed. So, but Ted and I are playing this game, and we got it. We got it, and it's against James, is why I brought it up. So we're playing it, but we got it. You know, we got our pans of threes in here. We got the gun line set up. We're rolling in with the Tigers. Steve gave us two extra Tigers. So, we're rolling, man. We're blowing up M10s left and right, etc. And then they're like, okay, well, we're going to call in two separate bombardments from trained 25-pounders, right? Four guns each. And we're just like, well, okay, you're going to smoke with those? No, we're gonna bombard your Tigers. We're like, whatever.
So, Top Armor 2 versus Tank.
Did you actually laugh? Did you pull Ted aside and just kind of snicker?
Yeah. I'm like, what's this?
It was Joe.
Yeah, sorry, Joe.
Yeah, wow.
Joe. Wow.
So I was like, okay. And so they proceed to bombard the thing. They range in, hit, get penetrating hits, because we both roll ones for all three tanks, and make firepower.
They made all sixes. They rolled like
all sixes.
All three Tigers are burning as a result of a 25. And you better believe James and his partner are just like, wow!
Oh, yeah.
Just what are the odds of that there, John?
Very small.
Very slim. Someone out there can calculate that.
Yeah, somebody out there can calculate. I mean, one, it's pretty small. I mean, yeah, okay, might have got one. But to get three?
Yeah.
What the hell?
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, we could have. So anyway, we had it in the bag, and then we had to...
Yep.
We failed our Feld Marshal.
Well, James deserved that win. You know, just real quick, he and I did not have the greatest of games back in
Somewhere.
Where were
it
we
was Guns of August.
And we didn't have a really pleasant experience playing each other, but we actually got a chance to talk a little bit. You know, decent guy, shook hands, and you know, at the end of the day, it's all a game. And he definitely deserved to win. Everybody clapped. Everybody, you know, definitely saw that. Mm-hmm. You know,
Yeah, I mean, he went out of his way to apologize to people. Well, it felt like they were
wrong. Well, you know, the thing is we everybody, you know, sometimes you just have a bad day. And you know, and ultimately, at the end of the day, it's just a game, right?
Yeah, man, it's all about forgive and forget. We're playing with toys here.
Right. You know one thing I forgot about that day, too? I was massively hungover from Knob Creek.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was the Knob Creek hangover day.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I remember that.
Yeah, because you had a broken back that day because of the bunk you were sleeping in.
Oh, yeah, because it folded and crashed on me. Well, I was playing Matt, and I had to be like, yeah, I'm going to move there. Oh, dude, I'll be right back.
Matt, just chill.
Just throw up on the table.
He was very gracious.
But, yeah, it was a good time. So congratulations, James, and definitely a deserved victory. Man, I thought we were going to have it. You know, we were in the lead after round one.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then we just could not seal the deal.
Couldn't bring it home, man.
Yeah, we just couldn't assault enough in the next game. But I got to say, my one funny story from that. So we're playing Bob and Bill, Bob Evans and Bill, I don't know your last name, sorry, in the second game. And they can't get reserves. They've just been rolling reserves and dust up, and they can't get them.
Yep.
And we've got this horrible setup. I've got 57-millimeter guns. I've got two embedded infantry, you know, intermingled, everything like that. And so Bill finally gets on the table, and there's only like 20 minutes left in this game. So he's like, he does our favorite F it move, right? He's like, screw it, I'm assaulting now. Mm-hmm. He rolls his tanks on and just immediately goes into assault my infantry. I hit every single one of his tanks. I think I only killed because I just couldn't make the firepower, but out of nine tanks, I hit every single one of them. All of them, and I mean all of them, had markers on them or were destroyed.
Yeah.
But Herman Gehring, re-rolling platoon morale checks.
That's right.
They end up hanging around. Yeah. So, but that, and I was like, but it was.
Yeah, that was a cool event because we had there were leaders on each side. It was me and Bill Duray, as you know. He's
nemesis.
He's my friendly nemesis. We know what
nemesis means.
We were the commanders of our sides, and the Germans got absolutely hammered. I think there were a total of 14 games because it was 7 each round. Might have been 8.
Yeah,
but,
Steve won 2.
Yeah, the Germans won 2 out of 14. And both of those were on the very difficult for the Allies Monte Cassino board.
As it should have been, right?
Yeah, so.
Yeah, but those guys did take a devastating bombardment, lost 3 platoons,
oh,
and then still
God,
won.
Yeah, yeah, ugh. Those guys deserved it. Don't
Flames
get me wrong.
Of Rome.
They earned it. Yeah. So I got sent
run!
To the
Randio Damio.
Leave you with left her buried alive.
Run!
That's what I was going
with
for.
With my last breath.
All right, that's
from hell's heart I stab at thee. All right. Anyways, so I was sent off to the Eastern Front, and
you're fired. Yeah, you
so,
were fired.
Yeah,
we all blamed
you.
Definitely
we all blamed
that
you.
He is better as Captain McLaughlin.
Right. I'm right. Tactical, not strategic, I guess. So now me and Sean are playing a Firestorm campaign after I was sent off to the Eastern Front.
He just punched you in the ding-dong
last
game.
He did, yeah. We played 4 games, and the last game he absolutely just slaughtered me. I was running Engineer Sappers, who are auto-attack, and I was attacking Viking tanks.
Did you know that they were auto-attack?
You know, I didn't. I might have in the back of my mind, but, you know, we're like, okay, who's the attacker? And I was like, oh, wait, I'm auto-attack. Well, okay, you know. And in hasty assault, or hasty attack, whatever, you only get, you know, half your stuff on. But we did do the new version 3 version of that mission, and it is much better. I mean, I got hammered, but that was my own fault, and Sean playing well. The new version is much better. Now the attacker gets the first turn again.
Good.
And the defender's reserves are scattered. So it's gone a
long
way.
Oh, that's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
That's a really big deal.
But at least
I would say that's huge. The defender still gets...
Huge, without an H?
Yeah.
Huge.
Huge.
The defender still gets an immediate ambush, and just... I'm going to skip ahead a little bit here. Immediate ambush now. You ambush right before the game starts. You don't do it on your first turn. Because now... Remember, in version 2, all the missions that had immediate ambush, the defender got the first turn. So Cauldron, Hasty Assault, they don't get that anymore. So now the immediate ambush happens like kind of basically when independent teams are placed. Okay, so anyways.
Sweet.
That was a fun game. Sean hammered me, and it's cool just kind of seeing the overall effect, because when he hammered me, he hit me in the side to knock out one of my salients, you know. So I now have troops that
cut
are
off
out of,
troops.
Yeah, I have guys who are out of supply and cut off, so I then won the initiative, and now I'm trying to relieve them and get them
you're,
back
you're
in command.
You're moving some Firestorm troops in there,
I
too,
am. I'm committing a lot to that.
Ugh.
So
you better win it.
It's been a cool campaign, though. We've both had a really fun time with it, because the battles matter, and, you know. It's just kind of cool to apply that to the larger scale.
We'll have to do that Wednesday when we play.
Yeah, we'll apply.
Yeah, I just found out tonight we're playing Wednesday.
Yeah, did you? Oh, I did too.
You told me. I walked in the door and you're like, by the way, we're playing Wednesday.
Yeah, we are.
Like,
yeah.
You don't even ask me. Just like, we're playing Wednesday.
I don't want to ask you because if I didn't have you around, I'd use the player finder to find somebody else to come play for you.
Well, you know what?
Damn it.
I am you, Salazar!
You win. You win.
You win that round, neighbor.
Right. Yeah. John's a pretty funny guy. You can hear him being extra funny on After Hours. That was a bad one.
Now we're horrible.
What do you beat got? You to it.
Well, actually, today in... Well, actually. Today in After Hours, we're going to talk about a lot of cool stuff today.
Yeah? What are we going to talk about?
Yeah, we're going to talk about all kinds of versions 3 stuff, things that we've learned already, some practical applications. I mean, we're going to cover some of that, but we got to go. We just don't have enough time in the podcast to cover that.
So. I mean, we're not going to talk like maybe specific rules. We're more going to make predictions. Like, what if the stuff we run that we think is going to be awesome? What stuff do we think is going to kind of suck? You know, kind of general design things. It should be cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And and we're also going to talk about Real Steel, because I just saw that with my kids.
Yesterday. Oh yeah, Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
More
movie.
Or less, I'll tell you. It's actually more like Robot Rocky. Is what it is.
Yeah.
Well, trust me, it's not getting a Grammy. I mean, I'm not getting it.
Not getting one of those either.
It's not getting an Oscar, but yeah, for a 9-year-old and a 6-year-old, loving it. All right, so.
So you guys went to muster today, right?
Yes.
Okay, we looked at each other.
We were both reading our notes.
Did we?
We went to notes. We went to muster today.
Yeah, we went to muster. Played. I thought there were a lot more people there than last year, I thought. They had a Flames War tournament down there, a big, like, 2,700-point tank battle.
Two-hour rounds,
12 players. Like, Mad Dog, Tom was down there, Renteria, Chuck Carey, et cetera.
Aaron,
I was running 2 games of Wings of War, which, The first game, I had about six people show up. And then the second game, Luke came and joined me. And, like, everybody must have been scared of him because nobody was there.
You were like a prostitute standing on the corner. Like, everybody walked by. He was like, hey, you want to play? You want to play?
Well, the only guy I had repeat was the dude who played the Red Baron in the first round. He had never played the game before. Dude took 11 hits and only 4 points of damage. I mean,
that's cool.
He never died the whole time, so he was all, you know, hype on playing.
Yeah, if you know anything about Wings of War, that's pretty.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. Like 3-4 hits, you know, you're hurting usually. You know, 6-7, you're dead. But yeah, he was there, and then suddenly people came out of nowhere. You went to the can, and I had to text you like, dude, come over here and play because we got six more guys over here, whatever the hell it was. So yeah, we ended up having a great time, and we had two Wings of War games going on at once.
Yeah, there was a lot of people playing. There's probably a good 14, 16 people playing at one time.
Yeah, we had a great time. And lots of people in the boardroom. We saw our boy Carl. We saw Kai from Falcon Figures. We had a good time.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Eubanks.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's not a huge Gen Con event where there's like 50,000 people there or anything like that. But it's definitely a situation where, you know, it's a smaller, a little more intimate, and you get a chance to play. It's local for us, so it's good. Yeah. So, you know, check around. Look around for these smaller venues because you can have a great time at them.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, we got Cold Wars coming up. We got a team tournament up there sponsored by I-95's putting it on. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That is.
Steve and I are still trying to figure out what the hell we're going to run.
Dude, I don't even know.
I mean, it's like the new version 3. We were set. I was like, okay, yeah, we're going with this. Set. This is it. And then...
You know what me and Ted's list is? The same thing. We're staying on target.
Yeah, but it's...
Yeah, but
I'm
the
saying,
rules didn't
man.
Change for your year.
Yeah, you're right. He's right.
That, like, dramatically impacts how things are played.
I can't blame you for your poor choice.
Hey, man.
Oh, good God.
So
we're
going to
beat the living hell out of them on Wednesday.
Probably.
I know we are. Yeah.
Well, Ted's going with Spare, I think. And the reluctant veteran, I'm like, but, that Pioneer unit he gets.
I know. Fearless to counter assault tanks.
Yeah.
Still reluctant, though.
But I think we're going to see tons of tanks.
I think you are, too.
But anyway, we'll see.
We'll see, though. We'll see.
We will see.
So Cold Wars is when?
Sometime in March. I don't know. I think it's 3rd through 5th, 6th, something like that.
Yeah, it's the 11th.
11th?
Is it?
Yeah, I think.
Whatever.
I don't have my computer in front of me.
HMGS.com.
HMGS.org.
It's on my calendar. HMGS, I can check.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
In fact, I might as well check. You guys keep chatting. We can't sow disinformation about one of the largest conventions.
It's sometime,
that's
someplace,
in like a month
somewhere.
None of us even know when it is.
People will be there and happens at some place.
Well, it's going to be a blast. I mean, I'm lining up.
It's 9th, 10th, 11th.
9th, 10th, 11th.
Where, okay. I'm already putting some pennies aside right now to go shopping up
tax
there.
Returns came back.
You already got your tax return back?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, dog, I just got my W-2 a few days ago.
I filed mine because I could always pay.
Sweet.
Yeah, thanks.
And you get money you got a little small.
Got a pretty nice little chunk of change for little smalls.
Buy me something.
All right.
Pump.
Buy you like a blister or something.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, right.
Great.
Probably owe you something. I don't know.
Scumbag.
I'll give you a raise. I'll buy you two blisters.
Oh, geez, thanks. Man, you're awesome. All right, so painting and modeling. I'll go first. I've been painting houses for Arnhem. I've also been painting up two more half tracks so I can do a real Gepanzerte Panzergrenadier company and play that because I love those guys. I played that one unit whatever event we were at, and that thing was ridiculously awesome. Oh, I played it up at a Game Vault. And I really like that, especially with the new transport rules. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. So I think those things will be really cool. I did the K-81s, which everybody saw online.
Them things is huge.
Huge. They're like a Luke huge.
Huge.
Yeah, AT-17, they're crazy. I can't wait to throw them down on Luke so that he can be like, bah! When he sees them.
You done?
They're awesome.
You
no,
done?
I'm not done. No, okay. I'm not done. What have you been painting, Luke? Oh, nothing.
Those K-81s are freaking ridiculous.
They are ridiculous.
They're just insane.
They do look fun. But 540 points, right?
Yeah, 530, like they're stupid. I mean, there's no way they make any sense at all.
They're a scenario thing, I think. You know,
I think they're just a...
You know how we
what's
talk
AT
about...
What's AT on that?
Yeah. You know how
17.
You know how you talk about sometimes that... We played a tournament like a year ago, and then somebody put down 90mm guns, and we're like, wait a minute.
What's that?
I've never played anybody with those in a tournament. Yeah. And you had to like really think about it. You're going to have to really think about those. Because people are going to be like, he's got German artillery. Yeah, that's it. German artillery.
Yeah. Here's my list.
Well, you know.
Will you mess up? you mess up against them and you could have feel it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, version 3 did go a long way towards making guns better. I mean, they're not great, but they're not better.
530 points, dude? That's like a unit of Panthers.
Well, yeah, the next 2750 right. tank army, see if you can squeeze them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Well, actually, I just got out of my neck brace, literally Thursday. So,
or your Shakespeare costume. Is
that's
that
right. I wanted
Luke did the
fair maiden.
It was my 15th century LARPing that I was going for.
Wouldst thou?
Yeah, exactly. So
touch my monkey.
God. We're
degenerating.
God, we're not even anywhere near after hours talking.
At least it's nighttime.
Yeah, it is nighttime. Well, we're going to finish at midnight tonight.
We started late.
Right, so we I've done a few hills. I think you saw one or two in a couple battle points.
Some
left
of
one
our
here.
Bat reps. Yep.
Yeah,
I straight stole it. It's mine now.
I was actually going to comment that on the thing. I was just like, it was late, and I just said, forget it. But anyway, I finished a Blue Bowl Cottage that I owe for people, and I've set up a bunch of painting for things to get done. In the future, I'm going to get some airborne done. And
well, you ordered some stuff from Game Models recently, right?
Yeah, I did. I got 10 ISU 152s, and I picked up a JS2, and I think I'm going to go ahead and order 10 more of those JS2s because Daddy's got something nasty coming up for y'all. It's
going
to be fun. So yeah, I just haven't been able to do much. I mean, honestly, I have to sit in a circle. I can't lean over and the painting and everything. Yeah, yeah. So it's been tough for me to get anything done. But
I think having a terrible car accident affecting you is a good enough excuse. Right.
Well,
allow it.
But what I am now that my neck is feeling better, what I did realize, and I worked on this a little bit last night, is that if I take a Vicodin and, a Valium at the same time, I can knock out some Bokash.
And you just wake up in a puddle of drool. Hey, all the Bokash is done.
I'm covered in like hot glue. I'm like, Anyway, hot glue.
Well, the whole place the whole website's been blowing up with people wanting to get some of your Bokash.
That's right. I actually had to tell people that can't do it anymore right now. I've got them booked up.
Need some minions.
Yep.
Get them kids out there.
Yeah, I think I found a Bokage slave to work in the mines.
Nice.
The mines Amelia. So
spring break.
Anyway, everybody's tired. Everybody's tired of talking about Bokage. So.
All right, move on. Next.
Cool though.
Baglaccio, what have you been up to,
son? Let's see. I finished up some Soviet HQ Strelkovy stuff. I got the 45mm guns, the sappers, and the supply wagon. Painted up a huge factory for Steve Ograd. It's the Soviet Munitions Factory by JR Miniatures. The thing is pretty big.
And it's on the website. Would you consider that ruins, or would you consider that rubble?
It's a Bog 3. No, you know what? I would consider it buildings, because I would consider the outsides rubble, and then there's clear delineations of rooms. So I think the way to treat those are just different buildings. I mean, I think the simplest way in version 3 is to say, this building is huge, and you can see where there's rooms and where there's rubble, so... it came out pretty cool, though. And then I did some ISU 152/122s, and for the first time ever, I manned up and did some extra modeling. I don't like the modeling part. I love painting, but I hate the modeling part. But I actually got my drill out and used like a 1/16th bit and drilled into the body of the assault gun and the bottom of the barrel and magnetized it so I can have both the 152s and the 122s. It looked pretty cool. I'll show you on the break.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it worked out really well, Came out. Couldn't be happier. I have 8 more to do. I'm going to do the same thing to all of them. And it looks cool. Painted up a IS-2, and the Battlefront IS-2s are freaking awesome. I love that model. I have 10 of the game models ones, too, but I'm kind of thinking about buying more.
Yeah, I'm only doing this as a temporary thing.
But that's pretty much what I've been up to. I started on the train. Got the German train getting painted up. It's the captured Polish one.
So when are you going to be running the train, Steve?
I'll be running the train as soon as you're ready to have the train run on you.
I'm always ready to have the train run on me,
that's
Steve.
That's what I
Let's
hear. That is what I hear. So that should be cool. I mean, I have no disillusions that
we're
it's
only getting
be...
one room at Cold War.
Right.
Yeah. One room, one
it's
bed,
gonna,
folks.
It's going to run on the tracks and get immediately destroyed.
Terrible. It's terrible, right. But it looks cool.
It's one of those things, That'll be the one next Christmas when we roll the list. We're like, train.
Gotta run the train.
The train!
Looks cool, though. That's pretty much what I've been up to. I've been playing some StarCraft. Any of you guys have StarCraft?
I used to love StarCraft, but I deliberately... I did not... I thought about it. I did not get StarCraft. I did not get... the new Star Wars game.
Because I got the new Star Wars game.
I'm still
playing it?
Yep, still playing it some. I finally got to the Tiger in World of Tanks. Thanks to Hacked and his guys helping me get there from here, and that thing is cool.
Cool.
It is very cool.
I'd be down for picking back up with World of Tanks.
I played a game the other night. It was amazing. I was actually, I don't know how or why, but I was just, I don't think the guys realized from the position I was at, it was one of the new boards, that I could hit them. And they were, because they were hiding, they were clearly hiding and blocking artillery shots, and I could see other people ranging in their artillery from their position, but I took a more exposed position, but I could shoot them. I ended up with like 4 kills. I just had the highest kills in the game.
Cool. Good job.
Yeah. I mean, they were, and I saw the blow it up. The IS-3 you were talking about.
Nice. And how's the balance now? Do you feel like it's gotten better? Because I kind of quit when those pocket or wallet warriors were kind of coming
with
out.
Yeah, with the T-59s and stuff.
I saw nothing but those.
I think it's better. The HE, they really toned that stuff down.
Yeah.
But... I mean, I think once you get past a certain level, it's okay. I mean, you know, I only got up to, like, the Yog Panther, and now I've got to the Tiger, and it doesn't seem too bad. They kind of narrowed the matchmaking some, so that helps. Cool. But, I mean, it's not complete. The only thing I think is completely unbalanced is the artillery is so ridiculously effective. It's just crazy. Yeah.
I have been racking up. I've played insane, probably a dozen games in the past, I don't know, 2 weeks. And
just crushed.
I think I've only lost one game.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So the artillery is really good. So.
Yeah, I've been playing StarCraft 2. It's pretty fun. There's a really good matchmaking algorithm for it. Right. Like most of my games are real close, and it's great. And you kind of advance slowly, and you know losing will get you knocked down, but you wind up settling kind of where you belong. And I found out that I don't belong very high in that game. But I've been playing with Mad
Dog.
Is that
RTS?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I'm horrible at rhythm strategy. Yeah, I'm horrible.
I like playing the Zerg. They're kind of a macro. Like, you just build a lot of stuff.
They're Soviets.
Yeah, they really are. Because I'm not very good at, like,
they're early
this guy here, this guy here, this guy here. I'm better at pumping out stuff and just being like, all right, go attack.
You guys go do things. Yeah, right.
I'm Mad Dog.
Bleed on them.
Back in the day, the Zerg Rush was a thing. You could hit with those dogs right off the bat.
Yep.
Yeah, that was my thing.
That's
me and Adam Chapin used to rock that.
Yeah, you should try it out. It's pretty fun.
I don't want to try it. I'm telling you. That's why. Then you'd be like, what did you do this week, StarCraft? Hey,
nothing.
Luke, we're doing the podcast right now. Where are you? Hold on a second.
StarCraft.
Just got to get one more game in.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's been pretty cool. Well, look, guys, we got about 10 minutes left in this act. Why don't we just talk briefly about this this version 3 rollout? And you guys about ready to talk about it?
Yeah, so let's talk about the basics, what you get in your mini rulebook, you get your mini rulebook.
Right. And first, let's just talk about how classy it is that this thing is free. I mean, this is a free rulebook. All you got to do is show that you got a version 2 hardback, go to your friendly local game store, and make sure they have copies. You just go in, you get a sticker. Is that right? I think they put a sticker in your book.
Yeah, that's what
in your version 2 book, yes.
Yep. In your version 2 hardback, and they give you this free... How many pages is this thing?
Like,
I mean, it's substantial. This thing
almost
is like 200... Yeah, about close to 300 pages. It's thick, man. This thing is like... It's the Flames of War Bible, man.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's about three times the size of Dust Bowl.
Yeah, probably so.
Something
and
like that.
Yeah,
and it's complete. It's not like the shorthand,
right? This has every mission, all the rules. This is every single rule for version 3.
Yeah,
It's got 12 missions. Most of them have been touched up or just brand new. And let me just say something about the artwork. I mean. First of all, I love the style on the cover. I love that kind of simplistic, but that's not what's important. What's really important is as they're describing rules, there's these really great pictures using real models, and they're sort of like a comic book caption, right? They have like a little, you know, advisor, soldier who tells you things, and then everything's just really nicely drawn and pointed out, and you've got little reminder bubbles and everything. And so they really actually spend a lot of time on every page talking about two or three rules. I mean, it's not like the rules are just crammed in there. Each page, really, two or three ideas are then fully explored.
Well, and that's why it's three times the size of the
mini rule book. It's not that there's more rules. It's that the rules are way more clearly explained.
Absolutely.
And I really like that. And, I mean, the graphic design is just leaps and bounds. I mean, we've talked about that plenty of times before, but Battlefront is just knocking out the graphic design. So kudos again to those guys. Clearly a huge improvement. I mean, this thing is full color. It's 300 pages full color, and it's free. Can
this
it get
is,
classier?
Is, yeah, I mean, well, I mean, personally, I think this is just really designed to for the brand new person to not have questions.
Exactly.
I mean, this is designed for me. I mean, you're going to get another more again lessons from the front.
Right.
But this is designed to cut a lot of that down.
And I mean, I just say there's a 5-page index?
Yeah, which is excellent.
It is quite comprehensive. Yeah,
well, you know what? The other thing that I really like is the chart at the back.
Mm-hmm.
Movement step broken down.
And that's now a PDF on the Flamesware website as well.
Yes, it is. Yep. I saw that. That was awesome. But the way it is, it's a little bit more clear and concise. I mean, you can literally just follow this and work it out. It's neat. It's great.
Yep, and so. Just a lot of internal fixes. Like if a rule references another rule, it always lists the page number. Just little things like that that just make reading this a breeze. Now, I will say, you know, this is new to us, so
We're
going to dive in on these rules because that's what we're here to do. But I want to caution everyone and be very clear up front. If you think something sounds weird when we're talking about it, please don't fly off the handle and go say, oh my god, Flamesaur is broken because blah, 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 blah. We might not have fully explained it. The summary might not fully explain it.
We haven't played a version 3 game yet either.
I've played one.
Well, you played one.
Oh, I played one. And honestly, not a lot of the version 3 stuff really came up.
Today's the first day I've seen the book.
Yeah.
Let's just say that.
So, to be clear, this is going to be a journey for all of us. Yeah, we've got a couple. I mean, it's going to be a while before we're fully vested, and I think, you know, we're going to do some videos. We're going to help people out here.
That's right.
But we're in the same boat right now. We're trying our best to catch up, and
everybody's a noob.
That's right. Everybody's a noob. Everybody's joining the noob zone.
What we ask you to do right now is if you realize that maybe we said something wrong or you have a question about something, please
send Steve an email.
Send Steve an email at Steven.
Nope. Post on our forum.
Now, send Steve an email and tell him how wrong he is, and then go post on the forum.
Yeah, go post on the forum and ask a question, you know, and say, hey, you guys mentioned this, you talked about this.
Yep. Can you clarify this?
On page 139, it says this, so I don't understand. Right. And then.
Because I think that's where we're really going to get. I think where folks are going to hit the learning curve is when rules combine.
Yep.
Right? When there's three different rules that cover this.
Exactly.
And each one of them changed a little bit, and so it's like, okay, well, wait a minute, is that concealed? And how does that affect this?
Right.
And is that smoke? And wait a minute, hold on a second.
Right.
Because all three of those things change.
And we had a great example earlier when we were talking about the Toad tank destroyers coming out of their tank destroyer ambush. Because the new ambush rule says heavy and immobile guns must be placed further than 16 inches. But the tank destroyer rules, which use the same rules as ambush but don't actually reference ambush, don't have that caveat.
Exactly.
So even though it's using the same wording, it's not actually saying use the ambush rules. Use these rules, and they're just the same. So
please, you know, if you have questions, if you've learned something, you know, the forum is a great place to get that out there. Because not only if you send us an email directly, what happens is we reply. Maybe there's a couple back and forths.
Yep.
But then somebody else has the same question.
Right, so, exactly. You know. And, you know, our forums are full of really great, friendly people. We've got probably over 300 users on there now. It's pretty active. It moves pretty quick, but not so fast that you can't keep up. Really good conversation going on in there. Any range of topics. It's going really well.
There's no haters.
No haters allowed, man. That's the golden rule.
Don't be a jerk.
Be constructive.
Yeah.
Or get out.
Exactly.
That is the golden rule.
And everybody's been really cool, but it's a great opportunity to learn stuff. You want to post some cool stuff, and there's a World of Tanks forum on there also. And in addition to that, there's also a buy seller trade. I mean, there's a lot of people who've been trading off and getting rid of some old stuff, picking up some new stuff, you know. And
great example is airplanes in version 3 only need one model. So people are doing a plane swap. And they're saying, look, I've got three of this, and, you know, if you've got this, let's swap a plane.
Right.
You know?
Do you need a Stuka, by the way?
Do you need an American P-40?
Sure, why not? Let's swap. See, there you go. That's how it works.
I need a P-40.
I got you covered.
38 Lightnings? Anyone need a Lightning?
Sure, I need a Lightning.
All right, there you go.
Yeah, but you don't need a JU-87.
Oh, I need it. Oh, I need it. Oh, okay, everybody shut up.
All right. All right. So
anyway. I'll spend the next 10 minutes on this one.
You guys just got me going on that one.
So, guys, why don't we take a quick break and we come back and let's dive in. And we'll spend the rest of the episode pretty much just talking through version 3 stuff.
Let's do it. Planeswap. That's a great idea.
Dude. Read the forums, dude.
I know. Now, he's on the forum a lot, man.
I am on the forum a lot.
I see WWPD Loop posting around on there.
I have more posts than you.
He put Yeah, that's because I don't read them.
He's saying, do as I say, not as I do.
No, I'm saying that you already put a post up about this, so you should know about it.
I can't keep up on it every 10 seconds. I don't have the luxury.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and go fight. We're going to go rumble. That's right.
Ooh, yeah!
Yeah, baby. All
right, we will be right back.
I'm going to get you, brother.
Running out of quality WWPD articles to read? Wishing you had a hard copy gaming magazine you could leave in your office?
Wargames, Soldiers, and Strategy is a bi-monthly historical miniature gaming magazine based around a broad theme and containing detailed painting guides, army lists, battle reports, reviews, and scenarios for beginner and veteran wargamers alike. The magazine is 84 pages filled with beautiful artwork, diagrams, maps, and photographs. Wargames, Soldiers, and Strategy can be found at Barnes & Noble in either the History or Modeling and Hobby section, or find them on the web at WSSmagazine.com. Get your subscription now and use the coupon code WWPD to save an additional 15% over the already low cover price. Wargames, Soldiers, and Strategy. It's time to play with history.
HMGS, the Historical Miniatures Gaming Society, is a nonprofit, charitable, and educational organization with over 2,000 members worldwide. The main purpose of HMGS is to promote historical miniature wargaming as both a legitimate hobby and as an alternative method for the study of military history. Chapters are conveniently located across the United States and accept members from around the world. Chapter membership offers several advantages, including discounted admissions to all HMGS conventions, a periodic newsletter, and advance notice about upcoming events. HMGS holds three historical miniature gaming conventions each year, Cold Wars in March, Fallen in November, and the one and only Historicon in July. This has been called the mother of all wargaming conventions by the Wall Street Journal. At HMGS conventions, you can find hundreds of games to play and see all the latest miniatures at the world's largest hobby shop. For more information, check us out on the web at hmgs.org. It is both informative and fun. Join HMGS online at hmgs.org. We encourage you to join us in promoting our exciting hobby. You'll be glad you did.
And we're back.
All right, we're back. And before we get into this, guys, I'm going to read the last dispatch from the front ever. We're just not going to continue it. I keep forgetting to promote it, and it's just kind of takes more time.
You guys don't care out there.
Yeah, which is cool. You know, in the future, if you guys ever want to call somebody out or something, we can probably work something out. But, you know, we're not going to be reading stuff. We're not going to basically read everything we get. You know, it's just, it's too hard for us to keep up with.
And I mean, you can always use our forum on WWPD.net.
Right. Oh, how did you win already?
Or post us up in Facebook.
Oh, I haven't even looked at mine. Oh, I have WWPD.net too. I have WWPD.net too. All right, so I am going to read the last dispatch from the front ever. Here we go. Most disasters are not the large earthquakes and tsunamis that get large amounts of media attention. Always on call, disaster action team volunteers provide disaster relief to meet the emergency needs of victims of house fires, storms, tornadoes, floods, transportation accidents, and man-made disasters. Assistance needed by victims is evaluated by caseworkers and may include shelter, food, clothing, emotional support, and other critically needed items. The Red Cross chapters across America, Canada, and the UK need more volunteers and donations. Go to redcross.org and click donate in the red button in the upper right corner to donate or follow the link to your local chapter to volunteer. All right, so we're all done.
Yeah, what a great, absolutely.
That's a great one to end on.
Amen, brother.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep. Amen. All right, so the next thing on it says, talk through the V3 changes. Use the stepping up to V3 PDF as a starting
point. Why are you reading my notes, man?
Well, we actually have them. That's what's so surprising.
Yeah, you're right.
And we're following them.
All right, so, well, let's do this. So, guys, clearly you've seen this document. You've seen the stepping up to version 3 PDF that's up there on the Flames of War site. So we're just kind of going to, you know, walk our way through it. So, guys, I actually don't have mine brought up, so you guys can get this started.
Well, we're not going to go through every single one.
Highlights. You guys can do that on your own.
Highlights. Okay, so let's talk about this. Go on the ground. I think that's a pretty big change.
That is a pretty big change.
Think? So, basically, what you can do now is you can go to ground anywhere, as long as you don't move or shoot. But you're only harder to hit if you're already concealed.
Right. So it's the rule itself didn't change much. Yep. It more just got a wording change.
Yep.
And it does matter because gone to ground teams have to be allocated hits last in shooting, whether or not they're a plus two.
That's right.
Right. So that's the kind of kicker there. And, of course, the change that everyone knows about is that gun teams that are gone to ground get a three-up save.
Right.
And it's whether if they're gone to ground, whether or not they're
concealed.
They get
the bonus. Right. So if I've got 25-pounders in the open that didn't move or shoot, right, and they're gone to ground,
Right.
They get a 3-up save. They're not harder to hit because they're not concealed.
Right, right? Exactly.
But still, advanced. Switching from a 5-up save to a 3-up save? Yeah, yeah, I'm all about that.
I know.
Give me some of that. Right?
I mean, that makes any gun team.
You got that right. And also, awesome. The add-on to that one is a team start the game going to ground.
Correct.
Which really helps because the alpha strike is so hard.
Exactly.
You know, so much harder to pull off than the, oh, look, you know, I finished deploying first and I get to go first and now I'm going to blow all of your guys to bits. I mean, it helps quite a bit, I think.
And to follow up on that, infantry... And I believe guns as well. Anyone who tries to dig in stays gun to ground. They still count as moving if they decide to shoot, but they can go to ground and dig in the same turn. So and you can dig in while you're pinned.
Right. So it says platoons can dig in while pinned, and teams digging in are still concealed and will go to ground if they do not shoot.
Right, that's it.
Right.
That's pretty big. I mean, that makes infantry a lot more survivable. Because now if you're sitting there in the front of tanks, you don't have to decide, well, do I go to ground or do I attempt digging? Right,
right, right, exactly.
Because in version 2, if you try to dig, you're not even concealed in the open.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah, so, I think that's cool. And I think, I mean, that's probably a theme that we'll hit on here is that, I mean, I think they really helped infantry armies quite a bit.
I really do think so. I think that it's not that there's a balance swing or the tanks got nerfed or anything. I think they really just brought infantry up to where they can be competitive again. You know,
yeah. Because late war, you'd see all those tank armies. I mean, like Wilcox's, Cromwell's,
right? And early war, forget about it. You know, mid war, it was kind of close already. But I think in general, you really do see. Infantry armies. Now, I want to take a step back real quick. John, I just realized you probably didn't get that last page, which is the first page. The terrain. They went a long way towards classifying the terrain.
Yeah.
Really nice. There's a huge chart in the book.
Yeah.
It's basically an entire page of just all the different types of terrain, including wheat fields. Thank you, because wheat fields are played differently. 30.
15 different ways.
Right? Yeah. And exactly. let me say what makes me really happy about wheat fields is that they play them the way we
everybody's
play them.
Everybody's going to hear the pages flapping.
Yeah, you're going to hear pages flapping.
Yeah, so they say crops or open scrub is area terrain.
Yep.
It's slow going, so that means you can only move 8 inches through it. That's one thing we didn't do, but now they do, which is fine. And it offers concealment.
Right.
And they don't say concealment to this, concealment to that, concealment to this
just
other thing.
Concealment.
Just concealment.
Yeah, and slow going is kind of a new... I mean, it kind of existed in version 2, but it wasn't really its own classification.
Category.
So now you've really got three... Well, you've really got four classifications of terrain. You've got open, and then all the types of open, like road and so on. Now you've got slow going, which is difficult that doesn't require a bog check.
Right.
Which is nice, and a lot of stuff is now classified as slow going including destroyed vehicles. They are now slow going.
Fences.
Yep. Right. So I think
hills.
That's that's the big one. That was one of the only things that came into play in me and Sean's V3 game.
And depending upon your boards, that nerfs Lukey's Stuarts now because
you're right. You can't zip over hills,
right? Mm-hmm. And it makes Stormtrooper even more valuable.
You're right. It does. You know what? I like that. I like that rule.
I like
a lot.
That too.
I think it makes sense because hills were like easy mode for tanks, right? I could zip right over it because no one around here plays difficult hills. I mean, the I-95 guys have a little like with the patches, but we mostly play kind of smooth hills.
There's also a forest too. Forest versus woods.
Yeah. When we don't normally really do forest, we normally do just woods, and I think we could probably change that up.
Well, depending on how in that sense. Like a small patch of woods, like a 12 by 12 circle or something like that would be woods. But if you've got something covering, a third, well, not a third, but, like 20% of the table, big.
Yeah, I think looking at this too, European style woods are fairly open compared to like our woods here in Virginia. Virginia, it's great, pine.
Right.
I can touch. Yeah, I could touch the trees and move from one to the other just touching them.
Yeah.
And you can't do that really over there. So I think that's probably the difference between what they're talking about here.
Gotcha, yeah.
Woods are their kind of standard stuff, and forest is like crazy junk we have.
Right.
Maybe I'm... Because I am still looking. I don't see anything about desert stuff.
Yeah, you know, I guess I haven't really either, but that is in the individual books. I mean, Burning Empire, or in Hellfire Back, that's really a nice... Sure. And I think that would be easily categorized. Because it's basically, this is Road, and then the hills are kind of the following same rules. I do like there's better rules on how to treat water features.
Yeah, it's like crossing them is different now.
And how, like, based on the thickness of it, that's what you should treat it as.
And all you have to do is say, this is a shallow river.
Right, exactly. Right,
this is a shallow river, this is a stream. You know, or a ford, whatever, or, you know, whatever. This is a bog, this is a marsh, this is a swamp. And that's how, if you're setting up a tournament, that's what you need to do.
This is great. This gives you all the stuff so there's no confusion.
Yep, and while we're briefly on this subject, I want to mention buildings. Building rules were significantly revamped. They were made far more simple. One of the big changes is there's basically two classifications as buildings, and I don't remember the name. You guys are, if you're flipping to that, you'll tell me. There's one, I think it's contested, which either means there's an enemy in it or you didn't have a friendly team. Right. Yeah, you don't know. And then there's explored or something like that. I forget the exact terms, but basically it works the same as it does in version 2 now, as in if you have a friendly team who starts adjacent to an opening, then it's considered explored, and your guys can freely move in and out of openings. So that's the same as in version 2. But now, at the end of your movement step, if you end adjacent to an opening of a contested building, either there's bad guys in it who are far back, so there'd be actual room for you, or it's been unexplored, you can roll a skill test, and if you pass, it becomes explored.
Right.
So what that means is in the same turn, you can move an infantry stand up to the door, roll a skill test, if you pass, get in there. You can't do that in version 2.
Checked buildings there and contested buildings.
So a lot of people were up in arms because they thought you had to pass a skill check to get in a building, and that's not true.
No, no, no.
You have to pass a skill check to get into a contested building.
Yeah, so they basically say you're for checked buildings, so these are ones... that you've already checked that you know there's nobody in it or whatever.
So a checked building, you have a friendly team adjacent to an opening or a friendly team inside the building. Right.
Yeah, it either contains a friendly team or a friendly team was touching an opening into the building at the start of the current step.
Right. Yep.
So for a stormtrooper, that matters.
Yep.
You can still stormtrooper in. The building can be checked even if there is an enemy team inside.
Right.
Okay, and so basically then it says entering a checked building is... An infantry or manpack gun team can move into a check building through any ground floor opening.
Yep.
Measure the team's movement and go in. And then basically, contested means you got to make a skill check.
Right. Which is basic difference. Yeah, makes sense. And I like that a lot. Yeah. They also have teams that are inside a building. Remember in version 2, it's weird. They kind of occupy all the openings.
Yeah. Now you got to place them in there.
Yep, you put him where he is. That's and he's adjacent to that
and
opening.
Also, when you move into these buildings, you can automatically go up to two floors.
Up or down two floors. That's kind of a free movement. Yeah. Up or down two floors. So if you've got this big, like, you know, grain elevator or something, it'll take you a little while to
church
get up and
steeple,
down.
Something like that.
Yeah, so that's about all we'll cover for buildings. There are some more rules about, like, alleyways, and based on how thick the area between them, you can just treat them as, like, adjacent rooms.
Yeah.
Quickly want to just talk about independent teams. This is one of the big ones, is there's now warriors and independent teams, and warriors are a type of independent team. And your regular independent teams, like observers, have to break off immediately in assaults. They can't participate. Only warriors can stay in that fight. And
can't
your warriors,
use that leftover observer.
Exactly. Which, I mean, that
everybody's
makes sense.
Done.
Yeah, everybody's done it. So now your 2IC is considered a warrior now. So your HQ 2IC are both warrior teams. So I like that a lot.
Yep.
All right, so you all know about the movement distances being kind of revisited and revamped. Wheeled vehicles and Jeep and all that get a huge boost.
Yeah, and just to clarify, warriors are not independent teams.
Oh, they're not.
Yeah, they just specifically. Warrior teams are not independent teams.
Well, there you go. There's our first mistake. I thought they were just like a classification.
No,
but
it's not.
Okay, so totally they share a lot of the same rules, but they're not the same.
Absolutely.
All right, now I know.
Here we go. And no one takes
there you
go.
I did not know that.
We'll only be doing this for the next 3 years.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It'll take us a while. So, again, you guys know about the transport movement bump-ups. The transport moves are more or less been discussed, but there's a few things that weren't known up till now. One of them is that transports that die don't count for morale. We know that.
Yep.
But if an unarmored transport is killed in your step... Oh, man, I forget the exact wording. I think you have to pass a motivation check.
You pass a motivation test, and this is what happens. Man, I just had this one. I mean, I literally just had it.
Sorry, guys. Just kind of deal with, you know, just roll with us.
Well, if an armored transport team is hit, every passenger is hit, transport team's destroyed, remove all unarmored transport teams from the platoon.
Right, and quickly, that is different than it is now. If your transport's hit, but your transport passes its save, all the guys inside still take the hit if it's unarmored.
But this is the big one, and this is especially big for armored rifle players out there and you German Panzer Grenadiers player. If a platoon with armored transports has an armored transport team bailed out or destroyed, it takes a motivation test at the end of shooting step. Mm-hmm. If it passes, all bailed out transport teams remount immediately.
Right.
If it fails, all transport team and the platoon are immediately sent to the rear. I do have a question on that, though. Are they still pinned, or are they not considered pinned anymore?
Well, you're only pinned... I mean, I assume you're still pinned if one gets destroyed. You only get pinned if one gets destroyed, unless that's changed in version 3. I haven't specifically read that.
Okay,
so
well, there's a question for us to look at later.
There's one that's out in the open there.
Yep.
Okay, so. But and there's a similar rule for unarmored transports. I think it might be worse. Basically, if you lose an unarmored transport, all of them get sent to the rear right away.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
and that doesn't mean you can't recall them later. But basically, the transports are like it's too hot.
Does it say sent to the rear or removed from the game?
It and says immediately sent to the rear.
Okay, all right, makes sense.
If it fails that skill test that I was just talking about, or the motivation test rather, the transport teams between are immediately sent to the rear.
Okay, cool. Is it different for?
Well, this is the one from 101. On page 101.
All right.
So, anyway,
they're different.
Again, guys, we've got so much stuff going on here, and we're trying to highlight some things, and we are going to talk quite a bit in After Hours and in Act 3 about some ways that we can incorporate all these things into new lists, right? Because right now we're looking at everybody's doing the same thing. What's going to work? What's not going to work?
Right.
What am I going to worry about? Can I say that smoke is going to be a...
Hey, let me just follow up with that, and I'm sorry, because we're dealing with new rules. So what happens is, if any transport teams in the platoon were destroyed, and this is under unarmored transport, so if any unarmored transport teams in the platoon were destroyed, then all surviving passenger teams mounted in unarmored transport teams immediately dismount under fire, and all unarmored transport teams in the platoon are destroyed and removed from the table. So if you're driving around in trucks, and one of your trucks gets destroyed, they're all gone. Right?
Wow, that's a big deal.
And there's no save?
Well,
you gotta make a motivation.
Your guys jump out first.
Okay, you guys jump out.
Your guys jump out and the transports are destroyed. Remember, they don't count against you. So it just means they're removed.
Yeah, you're right.
They don't get to be
called
brought
back.
And that's for unarmored transports.
Right. So that's all my trucks.
Yeah, so it is a slight difference.
What page is that on?
That's page 101. So read that, because we're clearly not... We're doing a summary here, you know. So read through that, but know that, you know, your transports are... They got better and they got worse. Which I like that. I mean, I think that's a really fair trade-off. Because let's face it, your unarmored truck's getting shot up. They're going to want to get out of there, you know?
Well, let's talk for... Is it all right if we talk about smoke?
Please. Let's talk about smoke.
And let's talk about the easy smoke first. I'll let you talk about the big smoke.
Okay.
First of all, smoke ammunition. That's the page 107 reference.
So that's direct fire smoke.
That's direct fire smoke. You get to choose which team is hit.
Right.
And here's a cool one. You place two-inch balls... In front of the team.
You said balls.
I did. I said 2-inch balls. As soon as I said it, I knew. If all lines of sight... We're so immature.
We are.
If all lines of sight to a team pass through smoke, the team cannot be seen beyond 16 inches and counts as being concealed and gone to ground.
Right. Now, just to clarify, that gone to ground does not give a gun team a 3-up save if he's not already gone to ground, which is kind of different. But that's nice that you get to place it and you get the 2-inch diameter smoke balls.
Well, that's fantastic for the Americans, especially.
It is, because Shermans can say, see that tiger? Yeah, I'm going to smoke him. You put the 2 down, and if his line of sight is drawn through any of those to my targets, my guys get basically a 2 harder to hit. So it's pretty darn good.
Well, tell us about smoke bombardment,
Steve.
Oh,
and shooting smokes must shoot before other weapons in the same platoon.
Right. So
true before?
No, it was.
In direct fire smoke?
Yep. It was for that, for direct fire smoke, too. Really? But let's back it up just a little bit here, so we're on the page 2 of this thing before we get to the smoke bombardment. We already talked about most of those, but there are a few changes. We talked about digging. We talked about moving into buildings. This is one I liked. Leaving the battlefield has changed quite a bit. Now, when you leave the battlefield, any team that leaves the battlefield, the platoon has to pass a skill test. So if I pull off two guys off the back edge... and if I fail, the whole platoon is destroyed.
So there's your point.
Victory.
Right. And then to further that, which is not mentioned in the quick reference, if it's an enemy board edge, like not a friendly board edge, those teams that left are also counted as destroyed. So if I pass that motivation or that skill check so my platoon gets to stick around, the teams that left are destroyed. If it's a friendly board edge, they're just not counted as destroyed. But that's a big risk. Yeah. You know? Failing a skill test, they're destroyed. Because right now, what do? I'm down to one tank. All right, I'm pulling them out of there.
Exactly.
You know? So
I would say that you dig in while pinned down.
Yeah. Isn't that nice? That's Unreliable got a lot better. All those British Armored Regiment players out there are happy about that.
That's a big one.
All that happens now is if you double time, you roll a bog check. That's it. That's the only rule. Okay?
Well, how about hitting the turret?
Skipping ahead to hitting the turret, yeah.
That's on page 2.
Yeah, I know. I know. Where is that?
Well, actually,
I gotta find it. I'm using my phone here to read this, so why don't you read it to us? Let us know.
Well, I'm just reading the quick reference. It says, if the facing of the turret matters for armor saves, roll a die for each shot. 1 to 3 hits the hull. 4 to 6 hits the turret. One thing I will say, too, is that also determining what is behind or on the side has changed dramatically before. In the rule, and I don't know the exact how it said, but you had to be directly, you had to be completely behind the front of the enemy, and the diagram in the book clearly shows a 6-pounder, which has just got like a corner across the front of a Mark IV or something, and it is now taking side shots. Yep. However, when you roll those side shots, let's say you know you roll six shots, you hit 3 times.
Yep.
You have to roll 3 more dice if you're hitting on the side. And on a 4, 5, or 6, it goes to the...
Well, you mean if his turret's rotated.
If the turret's turned.
Yes, right.
If the turret has to be turned differently. If his turret's facing straight forward and the hull is facing straight forward, you don't do anything. You're hitting side shots. But if he's got his turret rotated, so basically you're hitting front armor of either the turret or the hull. That's cool.
You know what I was thinking, though.
Yeah, you got to roll to see what you hit, which I like that a whole lot.
Well, that gives a lot of strength to the Panther.
It does. Because the Panther, you know, if he's getting flanked, which, usually you're swarming a Panther.
That's what you do, right?
So he can kind of hedge his bets and hope for the best. Now, one of the other little clarifications to that is that turreted weapons, when they go to shoot at a target, they can choose to rotate their hull as if they were a hull-mounted weapon. So you now no longer have to give up more side armor. Yeah. Which, you know, that was a lot of people kind of house ruled that anyways, because basically back in the day, you know, the Stug was much better than a Panzer IV because that 180.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but so that's kind of a new thing. All right, what we got next?
Bunker busters against tanks.
Yeah.
This broke Steve and I's heart.
It did break my heart. So hits from bunker buster weapons cannot be allocated to vehicles that are not bogged down or bailed out.
Yep. That's not the one we were thinking of, though.
Yeah. Now, I thought that was only if the bunker buster moved. Is that not true?
No, there is a rule that says that. I read it somewhere.
Bunker busters against tanks. Hits from bunker buster that moved cannot be allocated to a vehicle unless it is bogged down or bailed out. So that's a vehicle. So it can't even hit trucks.
Right. So actually, that summary is just a little off. It just means that... And that's a big difference. If you're if you have like a towed bunker buster, like a gun...
Yeah.
As long as he doesn't move, he can shoot vehicles. He can shoot active vehicles. And same with a Brumbar. But now Brumbars can't go chasing Shermans down. Because if you move, you can only hit bailed or bogged tanks, which makes sense. I really like that rule. A lot of people are mad about it, but it's so realistic to me. I mean, it just makes sense.
Yeah, because really, I mean, most of those guns that are bunker busters are not designed to shoot tanks at all.
I do think there's a little bit of collateral damage with things like the Hummel. Because Hummels were used in an anti-tank role.
Yeah, but you know? How did they use it in an anti-tank role? Yeah. They probably sat it there, shot, and then ran the hell away.
I think overall it makes a lot of sense. Still on that same page, the last thing I'll talk about is gun shields on vehicles, like the 2-pounder, 6-pounder, Portee. They can now, rather than making a 5-up unarmored vehicle save... If you hit them from across their gun shield, then you have to roll firepower rather than I making a save. So it's kind of like they get bulletproof, but they don't get a save. So it's somewhere between like a regular gun shield and an armored.
Unarmored.
And the last thing is when you move, you can shoot half your rate of fire rounded down, which means HMGs can move and shoot 3 dice.
3 dice, man.
Big change for HMGs, am I right?
That makes, and I tell you, that is a big boost for German infantry because they have access to so much more heavy machine gun stuff.
Yep.
I mean, Americans have pretty good access to light machine guns, but heavy machine gun access?
And
holy smokes.
Same with self-propelled anti-aircraft. If you're Rate of Fire 4, you got two shots on the move now.
10.5/2.
Our 10.5s are rocking and rolling.
Yeah, I bought another one today from Carl. All
right, I'm moving on to page 3 of this quick summary, guys.
Man, you're moving too fast for me, brother.
Moving too fast. All right, and that starts with recce vehicles. You guys probably all know by now that unarmored recce vehicles have a 3-up save. We've already talked about the gun-to-ground gun saves.
That's a really good. So that's like all the Jeeps and stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. So U.S. Cav Recon.
Yeah, that makes them more durable than most of the armored recce, right?
Well, it depends what they're taking hits from. I mean, less survivable against machine guns.
Yeah, but more survivable
against bigger guns.
Yeah. You have to think about that.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Either way, I'll tell you what it does is make the U.S. Cav Recon a lot more attractive to me. Better movement rates, better saves. They just got better.
Dust that off.
Yeah.
It's something to
I might have to, man.
Well, remember that list I ran was actually really good.
Yeah, and now it's only better.
And now it's 100% better. And it's cheaper.
It doesn't help Universal Carriers at all.
Though. Nah, Universal Carriers are still...
Universal Carriers, though, can move... Half-tracks can move in very difficult going.
They can go in difficult going. Yeah. And very difficult. They still get 12 inches off-road, don't they? I forget. Yeah, yeah. So basically, in version 2, Jeeps and half-tracks had the same movement rate. I believe now... Wheeled and half track have the same movement rate, except that half tracks can move in very difficult. That's the difference there.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Before they couldn't even go in.
Yep. All right. So we kind of already talked about passengers and transports. You already know about the no saves from big guns, you know, Bunker Buster. Well, that was in Red Bear.
And the one Steve cares about is one man turret.
Yes. Yes. Where are you?
One man turret.
Page jumping
3.
Ahead.
He is jumping
you said
ahead.
Page 3.
Yeah, yeah, I'm going down the left column and then down the right column.
Oh, yeah, you got your time.
I got my little, I don't get the big, nice iPad like Luke has. I had to borrow my wife's iPad for this. All right, so where were we? Oh, I love this rule. Destroyed armored vehicles.
Oh, huge.
They do not produce smoke.
Yeah,
thank God.
Yeah, because that was so annoying. I'm going to back up into this 2-inch. Now it's just the vehicle itself is concealment. And it's slow going. So they don't really block and become very difficult. They're just slow going. You can just push your way right through.
Yeah.
And I was a tiny bit disappointed to find there's no rule for defilade in terrain that I saw. So like a tank that dies on a bridge, I don't think blocks the bridge anymore. I think that rule is gone.
Yeah, because now you can go through it.
Because now, and it's not, you don't even
roll
the check. Is
it under narrow passages?
It might be. And I'm saying I haven't seen it, so
okay.
It may be there.
I saw that.
Yeah, please let me know if you do, and we'll move on. We talked about smoke ammunition. Luke, have you read about the snipers?
I started to. They are, 50 points is still expensive. However, they're a lot more useful.
They got a lot better.
They get to reroll fail rolls to hit.
Right.
They can be removed in the movement step and on a 4-up return to the sniper pool to be placed again in a future turn.
Right. So and if their position's getting overrun, you can say, all right, let's try again.
That's right. And now, also, normally before, now I've only played against snipers one time.
Because they kind of suck.
You know, 3.5 years, but... it was before, if you moved an enemy team up to a sniper position, he was just dead like that.
Yep.
Now, with snipers, I believe if snipers within 4 inches of an enemy infantry or tanks roll a die on a 4+, they return to the pool.
Yep.
Otherwise, they're destroyed.
Yep. I like that a lot.
That's really good. And, you know...
I'm going to try them. I'm going to try out some snipers in version 3, because they're a lot better. I mean, they're firepower 4+. You know, they can knock out man-packed guns, and then, you know... They're survivable.
There's nothing in narrow lanes.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I looked for it, and I didn't see it. Yeah. All right, skipping ahead. Turret rear MG. Basically, the only change here is bailed out tanks can't use it anymore, which makes sense.
Yeah, and we talked about smoke ammo, right?
We did, right. I'm moving on to MG teams. They have rate of fire 2 when pinned down.
Ooh, doggy. Yeah. Grenadiers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We know about mortar teams, so 3-inch, 8-centimeter, all those medium mortars can direct fire, which is big.
Yeah, we talked about that one.
That is
huge. Horse artillery.
Yeah. Horse artillery. Let's talk about this real quick. So first of all, when gun teams unlimber now, it doesn't count as movement. So you can unlimber, fire bombardment, direct fire, whatever. Just doesn't count as movement. But they also count as part of the transport model when they're limbered up. That's different. So you can't really like sneak them into a position anymore like Dirty John has been known to
you
do.
You got
with
that
6-pounders.
Right. No, 17s. I do it 17s.
He damn sure did do that.
So now they count.
I did do it to you.
But they can fire full rate of fire when they unlimber. So get this. And you better believe I immediately pulled out my Royal Horse Artillery 25 pounds and was just like, guys, you're about to shine. So they can move in the movement step, unlimber at the end of the movement step, and fire full rate of fire.
Indirect fire, not artillery bombardment.
They can't do an artillery bombardment, but who cares? That's not. I mean, I'm using these guys in the desert.
That's right.
I'm driving up. I'm up probably on a road if we're in the desert, right? And wheeled vehicles move how far on the road now? Anybody?
20?
18 inches. It's your regular movement times half. Yeah. Half again. So I can drive up 18 inches.
Unlimber.
Unlimber.
Take two shots at you.
Take two shots each at you on the same turn.
Yeah, and in mid-war especially. That's
yes.
Well, I mean, if you want to think about even just worse, I mean, just, I mean, all I can think about are John 6-pounders.
They're not horse artillery.
They're not horse artillery. Oh, that's right. Yeah. It's just horse artillery. Okay. And there's not many units that are horse artillery.
Or the fives?
Well, I don't think so. I think you get that.
If it has a horse-drawn limber, is it continued?
No, no, no. There's a specific category, Royal Horse Artillery.
It'll have a rule to say this is horse artillery. Because basically all artillery gets the old horse artillery rule now. Back in the day, it used to be that 25-pounders could unlimber fire at full rate of fire.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But no one really used that, because really unlimbering means you've got to get up there in your transports first.
Yeah, it's horrible. Yeah. But now you can come from like all the way down the road. I mean,
so Royal Horse got awesome. I don't know who else has Royal Horse. I know I've seen some. I think maybe some of the minor powers, maybe. Yeah, someone gets some horse artillery.
So how does it work for...
I think so, but maybe.
How does it work for AT guns now moving... And
so it basically works like it does in version 2. You still got unlimber, you know, the following. You can't drive up and then unlimber. But when you do unlimber, you get to fire full rate of fire, as opposed to now it counts as movement.
Right.
Yeah.
So it didn't get a lot better, but it did get better.
Yeah, it got better, yeah.
Well, anything helps, especially. I mean, you know, so, well, I mean, I think what I'm seeing a lot in this, in version 3 so far, is that a lot of units that you just didn't play with before, you're going to play with.
I think so. I think
airplanes, transports, you know.
Ooh, I do want to mention one thing about transports just because it popped in my head. If you don't have any guys in your transport, they have to go to the rear.
That's right.
Unless they have a crew-served weapon, so basically like German.
Or
no, I'm sorry. It's if they have the mounted assault rule, they can stay on the board. Otherwise, they have to go back. So you can't keep your half-tracks behind you or your trucks.
I just found a little tidbit, and this is a theme throughout, is... like, no HE, so like mid-war 6-pounders.
Yeah.
And they talk about just a regular HE rule, no HE rule. Then they say gun teams with no HE are not completely helpless against infantry teams, though as they can shoot as rifle teams if necessary. And that's
all
true of a lot
teams,
of stuff, like
all gun team
flamethrowers, too,
rifles.
Can do rifles.
And any gun team, if you get behind their front line, they can still shoot you as
shoot
a rifle.
Rifle.
So that makes mortars a lot more defensible, and guns to get assaulted from the rear, they at least get some defensive fire.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Yeah.
And one thing I again want to mention about transports, I know we've talked about them a lot, but we didn't talk about this.
Who looks smart at buying a whole tray full of transports?
You're right. Is that they can come back from the rear.
That's right.
And what you do is you place them basically following the rules from ambush. They've got to be further than 4 inches if concealed, or further than 8 inches from enemy recce, or further than 16 inches if they're in the open. And they can just be brought back, and you can then mount up and then drive off.
Dude, that's
so in the
crazy.
Same turn, I can say, you know what, I need to get my guys quick. I'm going to bring my transports back, I'm going to mount up, and then I'm going to drive them back.
Dude, that's crazy, because it's like, look, those armor rifles can't go anywhere. Oh, yes, they can.
Yes, they can. Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. So
crazy. It's like they just conjure.
Yep. All right, so what's
next?
Feels
so lost sometimes. I mean, honestly,
I don't know how to play my game.
For you guys who are listening out there, do you feel, I mean,
I know.
And Battlefront, you've done a great job. I got no beef against that.
Yeah.
But I feel a little overwhelmed.
You know? I love it, though. I mean,
I do, because it's like way back in the day when you used to play Dungeons and Dragons or something, right?
Yeah.
And you got to like whatever level and you're like, oh, whatever, we're going to go fight demigods or
whatever. Yeah.
But then you remember what it was like to be a level one character, right?
That's kind of
how I feel like right now. It's like everything.
I like it.
It's exciting.
I was sitting there reading my book while we were watching some TV or something, you know, I was just like, oh man, that's huge. And then he's like, what do you care about this? Like, I've been playing this for 7 years, the old way, you know, 6.5 years, however
thousands
long
of dollars sitting
version
on the
2 is. Right.
Yeah, so, I will.
This is a big change.
Yeah. You know, pour water on the whole thing, but it is a lot of change.
Yeah.
It's a lot to take in.
There's a lot of minor things that add up.
And not everything was simplified. Some things that needed to be simplified were simplified.
Yeah.
Independent teams, assault.
Yep.
Right, but some things were complicated a little bit. But yeah, anyway.
Let's keep going. So one-man turret. Oh, my God. Add a +1 to hit. So let me just... this is probably something I should talk about in After Hours, but the list I ran at Nationals, which was the Panhard Swarm... they get so many new rules. First of all, they're wheeled, so they get much better movement off-road.
Yep.
There's no more force to disengage for recon teams. It's all voluntary now,
Yay.
Which is awesome. and my tanks no longer have can't move and shoot. So, ugh, love it.
Yeah, that would
maybe you can be number one French again.
Number one French, baby. We'll see. We'll see. All right.
You got to grow the mustache now.
Yep. Slow traverse was slightly changed to make more sense. It was from the front of the hull, so if your turret was already rotated around, you still got the plus one. It just makes sense now. All right. Artillery. All guns repeat. This is kind of nice. Spotting teams have to have line of sight to where you're ranging, because in the past you could, like, you're covered in smoke, I can't see you, but whatever, I can still call it back.
If you were a jerk, though.
Yeah. You guys all know that now all artillery can basically get what the British had as rounds on the ground, and that you can have either a murder. If you have six or more guns, you can either fire one template, reroll misses, or a double wide. Nine or more get a double wide
nine
reroll
get
or
devastating bombardment.
So they get either a devastating or a double
either
wide.
Either a double wide template and reroll misses or a devastating bombardment.
And then 14 or more guns get a devastating bombardment and reroll misses.
Another New Year's resolution. I'm buying a devastating bombardment template.
I need
to. God damn it, I'm using it this year. I swear to God.
Dude, I'm going to run the eight priests, and I'm going to run like five fives with them.
Yeah, because you can link them up in bombardment now. British and Americans can link their batteries.
Ridiculous.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Can you imagine 12 guns?
Wouldn't that be awesome, man?
Six priests. Six priests, and I mean, you look at an armored. I mean, not that I would. I mean, six priests is a lot of points.
Yeah, but I'm even better.
Yeah, eight you're ridiculous.
Priests. Well, eight priests.
Yeah.
And while we're talking about that, mixed bombardment's got a nice boost. So basically now, if a third of the weapons firing have better AT, you start with the worst gun in the bombardment.
Add one.
And you can add one to the AT. And if at least one third have better firepower, then you can subtract one for the firepower. So like in John's case, if he were to combine
75s, little 75mm paratrooper ones, and...
Right. Well, I was going to... Let's do priests.
Priests and 5.5s.
Let's do priests and 5.5s. So your priests are AT4.
Yeah.
Right? Firepower 4.
Yeah.
Your 5.5s are AT5, firepower 2. So what does your bombardment do? You've got at least a third. Right. That meets both criteria. So your AT goes up to 5. Your firepower goes down to 3. With 12 guns firing. I quit Flames of War.
You put a devastating bombardment template down, and then all that, you get to reroll. Oh, my God.
He doesn't get to reroll because he's only got 12 guns. He got 14.
No, he gets
to
reroll his range in attempt.
He does, because that's a
because
British
of
rule.
British rule, because I get to reroll
the
first range.
British rule now. All right, so let's keep going. Smoke bombardments. Let's talk about this. First of all, smoke bombardments behave the same way as direct fire smoke, which I like a lot, at least in terms of drawing line of sight through it. In general, smoke did get a little worse, though. So now...
I don't know about worse. It got different.
All right, so now... You still range it in, and you still lay it the same way you do in version 2. You pick a target, range your smoke, you roll for the wind direction, all that good stuff. Now, you have to have your line of sight entirely drawn through the smoke, which doesn't mean in version 2, if you're just touched by the smoke, you're in it. That's not true anymore.
Yeah, it's a line of
sight. I've got my guy hanging halfway out of the smoke, and he can see you, no smoke affecting him.
Right.
But for anybody drawing line of sight entirely through the smoke, shooting your guys...
Both.
He's got both his maximum range reduced to 16 inches, as opposed to 6 inches
is
now. But you get a plus 2 hard hit because you're considered concealed and gone to ground.
And so that is...
It's pretty big.
Well, what that's pretty big for is the people are now, when you're using tanks to assault infantry, you're going to smoke that infantry you're assaulting.
Right.
Because they're already concealed.
You don't get gone to ground in the assault, in defensive fire. If you assault into smoke, you only get concealment.
Oh,
yeah.
Where do they say that?
It's somewhere in the assault rules.
Boo!
So it really is for covering your advance. You can also now range in on bunkers, only smoke. You can range smoke in on bunkers, but they're not quite as affected as everyone else. They don't suffer that plus one or plus two. They only get the maximum range.
Yeah.
So basically all you can really do is shut down a long-range bunker, like an 88 bunker or something like that.
Yeah,
okay, I'll take it.
I'll take it, too.
Yeah, no joke.
Before, you couldn't range in on them at all. Remember, I had to range in on teams that were close by your bunkers.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It was kind of silly.
Yeah.
All right, now, this is the big one. Tank Terror.
Wait, what did I skip?
AOP.
I'm sorry, American players.
Yeah, no,
AOP.
You're right.
AOP is a big deal.
And Brits.
All right, Steve, you want to take that one?
Why not? So the big change to AOP is that they have to be within 16 inches of their aiming point to spot for artillery.
Even being a Brit player, I still got to say...
You know what,
man? Right,
the AOP was straight up
Jeez.
I mean, that's who doesn't take an AOP?
Right.
If you've got the points, you're taking an AOP. There's a reason for that. If something is so good it's a no-brainer, it means it needs to be tweaked.
Right. 25 points, man? Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. I'll take two. You know, I guess an observer on the ground can see further than an AOP now. Not so sure about that, but whatever.
Yeah,
but I get that it's a game balance
and
thing.
And it's moving.
Right, and it's flying around, so it's doing other things.
Right.
I'm good with the rule.
I'm good with
it. It definitely makes AOPs worse, especially because AA guns shooting at planes get an additional eight inches to their ranges. And we're going to talk about airplanes in just a
minute. You can always use an extra 8 inches.
Yep. Amen, brother. All right. So, tank terror. That's the big thing, right?
It's actually called tank
it
terror now.
It's actually called tank terror.
The opponent has tanks. The opponent has tanks rule on page 143.
It's similar when you get into the assault, when you're doing counter assaults and stuff. It's the same if your opponent has tanks. You have to pass a motivation check if you didn't take any hits. The change now is when you go to launch that initial assault, if there are any enemy tank teams within 6 inches of some of your assaulting teams.
If any assaulting infantry team
is
within 6 inches of an enemy armored tank team, the platoon must make a motivation check before it can assault.
Right.
Success, go ahead. Fail, don't launch it.
Right.
Preferring to stay where you
are. And so that may not even mean that you're actually bringing the tanks into the assault. Like, if I've got an infantry platoon about to assault, and and there's an enemy tank kind of behind me, but within 6 inches, but I'm assaulting away from him, I'll have to pass tank terror, even though he might not be actually considered an enemy assault.
Right, because you figure they're hunkering down in their holes looking around going, uh-oh.
Right, there's tanks behind us. Do we really want to get out of this? All right, guys, what do you say we take a quick break and come back and talk about assaults and some of the other stuff? I could use a drink.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we'll be right back.
Hey, kids. Dirty John here from WWPD. I want to talk to you about a serious illness, WWPD addiction. WWPD addiction affects nearly 50% of the WWPD listening community. But there is hope. To ease your symptoms, we offer a WWPD News from the Front After Hours. After Hours are special episodes of News from the Front recorded after a regular session and available for a nominal price of $1. Each treatment regimen lasts between 30 minutes and 1 hour, offering additional shenanigans both informative and fun to help ease these symptoms of WWPD addiction.
As with all new treatment programs, please talk to your doctor before beginning any After Hours program. Serious side effects may include uncontrollable laughter or increased hobby purchases. Seek help immediately for a painting session lasting more than 4 hours, as serious, permanent relationship issues may result.
See WWPD.net for purchasing details. WWPD After Hours, helping ease your addiction pain.
Hetzer, Dirol, Panzerfaust, Sturmovik, Infantry, Red Bear, Stutzpunkt, Version 3. These are all things I'm tired of hearing about. If you're not, though, please go to the new WWPD forum. You can find it under Community in the top navigation bar.
And we're back!
Alright, so now, guys, I just want to say, for nearly 30 episodes, we have put off talking about the assault step. As you all know, now with version 3, it's gotten...
Somebody posted a video on it.
You're right. You're right about that. Now that it's gotten a lot more simplified, we're going to go ahead and talk about the assault step. So here we go. The first thing you need to know are what are assaulting teams. They now have... That's a specific term, assaulting teams. So in order to be an assaulting team, you must be in command and within 8 inches of a defending team to be able to assault. Now, Soviet companies with quality of quantity can extend that out to 12 inches.
Yeah.
So that's pretty big, because if you have guys 9 inches back and you're trying to come up and get an assault off, they're just sitting there. I mean, they don't get to assault. They don't get to charge in. They'll get to consolidate at the end, but they don't get to come in.
Right, but this is much longer range than it used to be.
Right, 8 inches is a lot bigger. So charge into contact is still mostly the same. Yeah. So rather than moving the closest team to closest team, you must maximize the number of enemy teams contacted. So you really need to plan ahead a little bit in setting up your assaults. Because if you've got a lot of enemies up front, you can't be smart and sort of surgically hit one spot. You've got to spread out and hit as many guys as you can within 4 inches. So that's pretty big. And that's kind of how it was in version 2, but a little different. Charge towards what you shot. That's just like in version 2. You got to assault who you shot at. So platoons that are defending... Any platoon that has teams within 8 inches of an assaulting team are defending platoons, but only teams within 8 inches can counterattack or defensive fire. So just like Mike said in our interview, the assault is kind of like a bubble. Right? Yeah. If you have a platoon strung all the way across the front line, I can hit a specific section of it and completely resolve that while the rest of the platoon doesn't do anything. They just sit there. So all platoons, I already said that, defensive fire, all defending teams within 8 inches of the assault can defensive fire.
Okay, so let me ask you a question here.
Sure.
Do you measure that 8 inches after you've moved into contact?
After the charge into contact, correct.
So you may not have a platoon within 8 inches when you begin the assault, right? So you're looking at who you're going to go assault. You got this one platoon. But after you move, charge into contact, now this other platoon is now within 8 of an assaulting team.
Yep.
And now the teams from that platoon that are within 8 inches get to
defensify,
which is different. Before, it used to be the platoon and anybody within 16.
And then the whole platoon got the defensive fire.
And that's out. It's now teams. So it's exactly a bubble.
Exactly. And this came up. This is one of the only real new version 3 things that came up in me and Sean's game. Mm-hmm. I sent my engineer sappers up to assault, and he had some Panthers and he had some Panzer 4s kind of to one of their flanks.
Right.
And I set myself up. I moved all the way over to make sure that even after charging into contact, I wasn't within 8 inches of any of those Panzer 4s.
Yeah.
So you really got to plan ahead that. You know, you got to look ahead and see who you're going to, you know, draw into that. So defensive fire still mostly works the same, except, again, only teams within 8 inches can shoot. But this is the big one. Only assaulting teams that are within 8 inches of defending teams can be allocated hits. So you can't put hits on those guys way back in the back who aren't getting into it. You got to take the hits on the guys doing the charging.
That's right.
So, you know, that's just got to plan ahead. You really got to set up the assaults a lot more than in version 2.
Talk about beefing up defensive infantry.
Mm-hmm. I think assaults in general in version 3 are much easier to follow, but I think on the tabletop, they're a little harder to launch, a little harder to get going.
A little harder to launch good ones.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, you can launch them all day long.
Yeah.
Okay, so again, 5 hits stop the infantry advance. Of course, the Soviets have a special rule on that. And
you don't
fall back to where you started anymore. You slide directly back 2 inches. You get just out of that 2-inch bubble, which I like because no one really remembered from exactly where you launched the assault anyways.
Yeah,
now you slide back.
So you're outside of 2 inches, which is what everybody did.
Right, exactly. Now, tank teams... 2 effective hits stop a tank assault, as you guys probably know already. So 2 bails or 2 destructions or any combination thereof. And this is big. If you bog down on the charge in and then your tanks are stopped, that guy that bogged is automatically unbogged and pushed back 2 inches. Because the idea is he never got there in the first place.
And he in a bog tank going in doesn't count for those 2, right? It's got to be something shot in defensive fire and bailed or destroyed.
You're exactly right.
I'd like to take a second and comment something on
sure,
that.
Sure, please.
Because there were a bunch of questions about this. There were some rumors going around. Do Russians get any kind of benefit for having a larger...
Not that I've seen.
And that is very detrimental to those 10... Man,
10 tank platoons with a couple of Panzerfausts. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that can end. That ends that really quick, so that's kind of rough.
It is rough. It's tough to launch. I was expecting to see something like Soviet platoons with more than 6 tanks or something get 3 or something.
Yeah, exactly. So was I, but no.
But nope, no go.
Wow.
That especially sucks for conscripts. Conscript tanks, Soviet conscript tanks in mid-war. Good luck.
Yeah, they got to be gun platforms.
Yep, pretty much. All right, guns hit side armor. That's the same in defensive fire, but then in the actual assault, a gun that's within 2 inches that has rate of fire 2 or better can roll a skill test to hit just like they already do, but rather than hitting their top armor, their AT value from direct fire can hit their side armor.
That's big.
Mm-hmm, that's pretty big. Now, they can also choose to still hit normally.
Sure.
Like, you know, if you're a, you know... I don't like a 37 millimeter against a Tiger. Like, you can't hurt it on the side, so you can just hit it regular with the Tiger. Well, I guess you still couldn't hurt it, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Now, this is a big one, too, is assaulting mixed platoons. If I'm assaulting and there's guns, tanks, and infantry defending, for each team, I can say he wants to hit a gun, he wants to hit a tank, and that's awesome, because now I can say this bazooka team is going after tanks.
Right.
Yeah, so that's pretty nice.
Yeah.
All right. Now, so we've launched our assault. We've hit all the teams we could. Now the opponent has to roll to counterattack.
And this is a big change.
Yes. And the first part, when you have to roll, is the same as in version 2. If any defending teams took a hit, you have to roll.
That's right.
Or if the attacker has tanks and you didn't take any hits, you have to roll. You only roll a single die for right. all the platoons involved.
Right, but your score goes against if they have mixed ratings. Yep. It's whatever the rate. So if some are fearless and some are confident, then if you roll
a three, your fearless guys would get to counter. Your confident guys wouldn't.
That's right.
And any re-rolls have to be applied for each individual team.
But the ones who made the original roll still make it. Right. So if later you roll a one.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you have your company commander attached to one unit. By the way, on that subject, if you want your company commander to participate in an assault that you launch, he has to attach right then. Right. You can't attach him later and then move him up. Yeah. He can attach later. He just doesn't count as an assaulting team.
Yeah, that's right.
But if you want him in the thick of it, he's got to attach. Also, by the way, warrior teams can launch assaults on their own. So your company commander can put a cigar in his mouth and kick the door in,
right.
you know, which I think is pretty cool. Yeah. Okay, so...
Clarify, so... Let's polish off the counterattack.
Okay.
Roll.
Yep.
So you go in, do your thing. It's now time for me to roll.
Yep.
I have a mixed, right, leadership values. I got some fearless. I got some confident. I roll dice. I get a three.
You roll a single die.
Well, I roll
apply
one
it
die.
To everybody. Yep.
Everybody. So some of my guys fearless. They're making it. So they've already. We're done. They're making it.
Right.
I get a re-roll from somewhere.
Yep.
I re-roll, but this re-roll only applies
to the specific platoon.
The platoon or all platoons that fail?
Each platoon that gets a reroll then gets to roll a die. So let's say, for example, you have a unit that says, I get to reroll like Nisei or something, right?
Right.
And they get a reroll. I roll my first roll, and then the reroll is for each platoon. So like if the CO joins one unit, only that unit gets a reroll.
Okay. Right,
here's my question. What happens if you have a situation where... we'll take that fearless example. We got fearless and we got a fearless trained and a confident trained. You roll a three, so the fearless is able to continue the assault.
Right.
The confident has to fall back.
Does
he make an immediate consolidation move at that point?
I don't. Do you have the page open? Because I don't remember. He breaks off. Whatever the rules for breaking off are, which is
Well, because here's. This is. I mean, I have not read all through this, but these are the questions that maybe I shouldn't be asking this now. But
let's leave because we're going to get to breaking off and consolidating. Okay. Just know that he does break off at that point.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. We'll get to break off.
I'm sorry to flip back.
Sure.
Let me read the rerolls to counterattack.
Sure.
I
may be wrong.
And I'm sorry. This is on 162 for you who are attempting to follow our ramblings at home. Okay. So rerolls to counterattack. All right. 162. So if a special rule gives a reroll to motivation test. Work out which platoons passed on the original roll. So we talked about that.
Mm.
Then re-roll the die and apply the outcome to any platoons affected by the rule that failed the original roll.
You're right. The way I read that, that confuses me. What if I have What if I have a British rifle platoon and an American platoon that is taken as an ally or something?
Right.
Right. Let's just say I'm American. My American company commander joins the American platoon, but my British platoons get British Bulldogs.
So I would guess then that special reroll only applies to that platoon.
Yeah.
And reroll the die, apply outcome to any platoons affected by the rule.
Oh, by the rule. So you make a reroll for each rule.
For each rule.
So company commander would be one rule, and only one platoon's affected by that. British Bulldog affects these two British rules. That affects them.
Yeah, but it's one die. So if I've got three British guys that failed and
it's
one American,
one die
it's one
per
die
rule.
Per rule.
Right. Okay, that's a little confusing.
Sorry,
it makes sense.
The company commander reroll.
Yeah.
Like, we'll take that same example.
Yep.
I rolled a three, but I really want my confident trained in there.
Right.
If I reroll that die,
yep.
And I get a...
So you're saying you attach the company commander to the confident platoon.
Okay, well, let's say going into the assault,
yep.
I had him attached to the fearless platoon.
Yep.
All right. We roll a three.
Yes.
At that point in time,
the fearless passed. The confident platoon failed.
So I do not get a reroll.
Nope.
No reroll
attached
at all.
To the fearless.
Yep.
Right.
So it's by rule.
I just wanted to verify that.
Fair enough. Okay. So that's a little. I get it. It'll take me a few times to get that under my
skin.
Well,
I think that's also limiting the power of the independent team in combat.
Well, the warriors.
It's really no different, though. Right? The end result is really not that different.
Well, I mean, when you think about it, though, you could have that guy sitting back
and
saying, let me see where I need to make the reroll.
But you could still do that. You can still attach him at any time. So I can roll that first die and say, okay, I got a three. My fearless guys pass. My confident guys fail. I'm going to attach my company commander, and now I'm going to get a reroll.
Oh, because he's launching the assault by himself in that case?
We're not launching. We're rolling a counterattack here.
Yeah, rolling counterattack.
Got me?
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah,
I know, dude. It's confusing.
Yeah, sorry.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Because he can hang back and say, in the counter assault, he can hang back.
He still attaches the same way as in version 2. He still attaches at any step.
Right, sure. Okay, right. Gotcha. Okay.
And independent teams must break off.
Independent teams must break off. They love that.
Their platoon.
Love that. So Observer Shermans, all of them guys.
Must break off right at counterattack, immediately leaving any platoon they had joined.
I love that.
Yeah, I think that's appropriate. I mean, your observers are going to sit there with their 45s and carbines. Yeah,
their job is, you know.
Yeah, we're out of here.
They'll stand there and give some machine gun shots.
Yeah, they'll take some defensive fire. Oh, they're getting close. All right, Joe, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
All right, so break off. Now, break off is, again, different because it only affects those teams that were in the bubble. So the rest of your platoon that's outside of it.
Rest of the teams.
You know, right. Rest of the teams within the platoon. So only teams within 8 inches of an assaulting enemy team move to break off. Any gun teams within 2 inches of an enemy team cannot break off and are destroyed. So gun teams die where they are. Luke, you better keep those pages in order. Just,
I'm going to say it. I'm sorry. Battlefront, I love the book. This is the first time I really opened it, and I've got
four pages falling apart.
Yeah. And so I know why.
My advice to everyone is when you get this book, you go immediately take it to Staples or whatever and get it spiraled back.
Yeah, I took mine before I even really read it, and I literally was cracking it, and one of the pages pulled loose. So I took it and got it spiral bound right away. It's only like $3 if you can get to a Staples, Kinko's.
And since Battlefront gives it to you for free,
it's
worth the $3 to spiral bind it.
Right. It's worth it anyways, because look, I got my book laid flat, you know, and John won't lay his flat because he knows pages are going to come splaying out. Okay, so now this is also different. So we talked about breakoff. When the victor consolidates, you consolidate the same way. You know, you have to consolidate in command. Yeah. You get your 4-inch move. But in the consolidation step, you can come within 2 inches of enemy teams.
Right.
So if you break off, I can consolidate right in front of you.
Right.
Okay? If I do that at the end of the consolidation phase, your teams then have to slide back 2 inches. And if you can't, you die.
Right.
So if there was a tank team that was, you know, just outside of X distance and he bogged and I can consolidate right on top of him, then he's captured.
Yep. Captured if too slow.
Yep. So that's the name of the rule, is captured if too slow.
Yeah. At the end of the breakoff, end of their breakoff movement, any defending teams that remain within 4 inches and in line of sight of an assaulting team, aside from transports, bogged out, bailed out teams are immediately captured or destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Only assaulting or counterattacking teams can capture breaking off teams.
Yep. So pretty big. And to cap that off, there are no breakthrough assaults in version 3.
Mm-hmm.
So as complicated as that was, we just talked all the way through assaults in version 3.
So can we go back to that captured if too slow?
Help me out here on
165.
165. Let me open it up to
At the end of the breakoff movement.
Yes.
So they broke off. Any defending teams that remain within 4 inches in the line of sight of an assaulting team, except for assaulting transport or bogged out or bailed out tanks, are immediately captured or destroyed. So they're not captured or destroyed.
They are. That's the same as in version 2. If you read that again, that's basically like a tank, a defending tank that lost, and he's trying to break off, he bogs down, he's destroyed at this point. Right?
Okay.
Get it? So we're not... Yeah.
Yeah, but this says aside from.
Right. So aside from an assaulting transport. So if I'm mounted assaulting you, a team that can't get outside of 4 inches doesn't die if he's only within 4 inches of a transport team.
Okay.
Make sense?
Oh, okay, yeah, I got you.
Or if I'm the attacker and I have a couple bailed and bogged tanks and you... Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Then only assaulting teams can capture breaking off teams. So then comes the guns fight or die. Yeah. And then comes that extra check where I, you know, get my consolidation and I can come within two, and then you've got to move again.
Yeah.
So that's especially good against tanks. You could potentially make a tank or like a half track team roll twice. And if there's no room for them to go, they're just destroyed.
Yeah. Well, here goes back to my question. Let's take our two platoon.
Sure.
I got one platoon, assaults. It's assaulting essentially two platoons.
Mm-hmm.
The confident train, we said, is going to have to break off.
Okay? Right.
So it breaks off and it moves 6 inches back.
Yep.
Now, they were on the front line.
They were.
Now, during the course of this assault between my fearless and your fearless and this and that, I end up literally sitting right on top of your confident trained unit that broke off. So what happens then? Because theoretically,
the first thing you got to remember is you've got an 8-inch bubble, meaning if your guys move back 6 inches, they're on the edge of the bubble anyhow. And as your teams come up, my guys shouldn't be getting that far back. If you counterattack,
gotcha.
Right? But I get what you're asking, and the answer is I don't know.
Yeah.
I assume you don't get to keep fighting. I assume you have to just keep breaking off or something.
I mean, yeah, because I mean, I'm thinking that, I mean, hypothetically, if you're really big packed in units like Russians.
Yeah.
I mean, you could just, you know, you're just going through waves.
Yeah.
You know?
I'd have to look at that. I don't remember. Off the top of my head, though, I'm thinking it might not be able to really work that way. I guess it is totally possible to work that way. I don't know.
We'll just get to play it.
We'll just have to see. Yeah.
The other thing is, charging over a linear obstacle, is that the only time you occupy an enemy's position?
Yeah, I think assaulting into a building is the same.
Yeah, building is the same, yeah.
Yeah.
So if I win an assault, I don't immediately move forward into your spot.
Right, no. Okay. Only for assault.
We died there, except for crossing a linear terrain.
Right. And one of the things they don't talk about is shooting was too successful, which is no longer called that. I believe it's called assaulting into abandoned positions or something about abandoned positions. Did you hear us all flipping through our books?
Yeah, I can't flip anymore.
Yeah, don't flip anymore. It's similar, but it's a little different. Honestly, I don't have it in front of me, and I can't find it, so I'm not going to talk about it. But know that there is something similar to shooting was too successful, and the rules were kind of the same, but they are pretty different. One of the big things is you have to go immediately towards where a team was. So you got to mark him. So you know how we use our pizzas in our battle report. You've got to go towards where he was, not just like a free 4-inch consolidation, which I that makes sense. Another big thing is you can actually go around your own teams in the assault now to try to get contact.
That was assaulting abandoned positions is exactly what it's called.
Okay. Yeah, but that's because before the rule read you had to move directly toward. And people never played it like this.
Nope.
And you'd always have conflicts sometimes when we had assaults because
guys would be coming around.
They'd swing them around and this and that. It's like, no, dude, you got to pack it in.
Yep.
You know,
and pack it in.
Yeah, right. Let me begin.
Yep. But yeah, so now you can swing around. And what was the other thing I was going to say?
It still says here. It says teams charge. It says the most direct route.
Right.
Teams charging into contact must take the shortest, most direct route into contact with the team they are charging.
Right.
With the team they are charging.
Right.
This means if there are no obstacles between them and the enemy, they must move in a straight line towards the enemy. If there is an obstacle between them and the enemy, they may either move straight towards the enemy, over the obstacle, or take the shortest route around it.
Right.
Teams may go around or charge through a friendly team that has already finished its charge in the contact.
Right.
If this will get them closer to the team they are charging.
Right.
So that's the rule. Yeah.
Which makes sense.
What page is that, John?
That's on 146.
Okay. 146.
Teams that contact an enemy team
far back.
Rotate at the end of their movement so that they are square up against the contact.
That's what I was
going to
talk about.
So
if you're just touching a corner of a guy, you rotate to be square up with them.
And that does make sense.
It'll look nice.
And you know what? Everybody was playing it that way pretty much.
Yeah, and it'll look nice on the board.
Yeah.
All right, that is more or less the assault step. Clearly, this is a big section in the rule book still. It's much simpler, but we didn't just teach you how to assault.
No. Warriors may assault alone.
I love it. I mean, I love the idea of my 2IC going off and hitting a mortar section or something if I'm playing tanks.
My fearless 2IC against your reluctant consort.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're right.
I will send him in. Why not? Right?
All right, let's talk about airplanes, dudes.
My favorite.
You now get one airplane model, and you must place him within 4 inches of the target team. Now, after reading this, the way I read it is the airplane model has to be within 4 inches of the target team. There's nothing talking about the bases except that the base can't be placed on a building, can't be placed on a forest, can't be placed on enemy teams. I think your actual plane model has to be within 4 inches. And I say that because later, when you're firing anti-aircraft, you actually range to the model of the plane.
Yep. Place you better make sure you have the right size. Those of you who bought those crazy, much
giant
bigger
ones.
Well,
yeah.
I have a couple of those 1 to 100
place
scale.
Place the aircraft so that it is within 4 inches. The aircraft...
Mm-hmm.
Right, of and facing towards the target team. And also, you can bring the plane on from anywhere.
From any angle. Yep. Anti-aircraft gets an extra 8 inches when it's shooting at you, but in order for anti-aircraft to draw a line of sight, it has to be able to see your airplane. So if there's a big wood between you or a building, your plane can actually be hidden from anti-aircraft. Yeah, kind of weird.
Yeah, so I've got longer stems.
Yeah, so the bottom line is I think people need to buy the Battlefront bases.
I'm just gonna cut them down to size.
I think they're about 3 inches high, but I read it that the plane model has to be within 4 inches. All right,
yeah, line of sight and range to aircraft.
Yep, it doesn't say the anywhere on the base.
It says
or the
to
stem.
The aircraft model. Yep. It says specifically.
There you go.
To the model.
All right, so now flying tanks add +1 to the opposing firepower rather than a reroll firepower test, which is a little worse for flying tanks, but it also means that firepower 6 can't hurt you.
Yeah.
So, like, self-defense, 30 cals, can't shoot down flying tanks.
Which I think is pretty
yep.
good.
So, rolling to range in, as you guys all know, you no longer roll to range in if your target is in the open.
Right.
But if they are within 2 inches of trees or buildings, and period, whether they're on the other side of or whatever, if they're just within 2 inches of a building from whatever direction I hit, then I have to...
If you've got wood behind you,
right.
The tank is in front,
exactly.
And the airplane before, yep. you had to fly over the wood, basically.
Yeah, and you basically never
right.
got it.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
it was pretty easy to avoid it, but now you can kind of stay in the shadow of things.
But it's only Bocage Hedgerow, woods, or buildings.
Correct. Yep, you're right about that.
That's another great...
Or entirely covered by smoke markers.
Yeah, here, Luke.
Plug, I'm assuming that would... It says woods. I'm assuming that also applies to forests.
Yeah, it's technically I would different. Think so. If they are within 2 inches of a building or wood, you now roll to range in.
Right.
They don't get concealment. You just roll based on their base skill. So a vet is a 4+, conscript 2+. So that's the difference. And you only get one shot of it. So basically, if you're really wanting to go after that tiger tank that's kind of hiding in a wood, you got to risk rolling it as opposed to hitting something that's not hiding. Yeah.
Right.
And the template is placed differently now. It's...
Oh, yeah?
It's placed the same, but for... You would think now I can bring the plane in from anywhere I want to bring it in.
Mm-hmm.
I can place a template any kind of way like regular artillery.
Yeah.
Not anymore. It's got to line up with the table.
Oh, okay. I didn't read that. It's got to be perpendicular.
Yep, it's got to line up with the table, basically.
And it also says you roll to hit, just to clarify, you roll to hit each platoon under the template and each type of team in the platoon.
Right, which is how it was, but people weren't really playing it that way much.
So you've got two platoons, and you've got, let's say we'll take armored rifles, for example, and they've got some Shermans. You roll to hit the armored rifles, okay, and when you roll to hit the armored rifles... Because you have man-pack guns, you have to roll individually for the man-pack guns, and then you roll individually for the infantry, and then you have to roll...
And individually for the transports.
And individually, if they have transports, they're right. And then you also have to roll individually for the Shermans in their own...
Yep.
And each platoon. If you get two platoons of Shermans, you got to roll for one
platoon. Or two platoons of armored rifles,
If it gets all mixed up, you're...
Which is the way it always was.
Right. Yeah, it is the way it was, but now it's more explicit, I guess.
You can read it and understand it.
All right, well, let's move on to reconnaissance, although there's a quick little passengers and transport. Unarmored transport teams are not sent to the rear and hit by an air attack, so it's kind of a different to that rule we talked about where transports get... run off. And armored transport teams automatically remount if bailed out by air. So you're Gepanzer Grenadiers.
He's gone. They buffed those guys.
Dude, they got awesome.
Yeah, they buffed
those guys. I feel like they needed it, though. All right, reconnaissance. Recon deployment is the same as it was in version 2, except now you can move up to 8 inches from the enemy of line of sight, and you ignore independent and warrior teams. So recon moves just got way better.
Way good. Man, my... crazy. Well, there were so many ways with the three recce platoons. Oh my
god. Yeah. Spearhead moves.
What does the spearhead count as a reconnaissance move?
I think it does. We'll get to it. I think it does.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there were so many cheesy things people would do.
Oh, yeah, you stick an observer way up forward.
And now I can't do a spearhead move or whatever.
All right, disengaging. Recce teams cannot disengage from artillery assaults. If they disengage, teams cannot move in their next turn and count as moving. So disengaging got a little worse.
So they cannot disengage from artillery.
Can't disengage from artillery. Bombardments.
Yeah.
Can't disengage from assaults. Huh. And if you disengage, you don't get to move the next turn. Kind of like before, you could move, but not closer,
Wow.
But now you're no longer forced to disengage. So disengaging is entirely voluntary, which I like that a lot.
May attempt, is what they say.
All right. Eyes and ears got a little bit better. It got worse in some respects and better in some respects. Basically, each team can lift gun to ground on a different platoon. It's kind of like shooting. You allocate it all. Yeah. If I've got 5 recon guys, I can say these two are going to try to lift their gun to ground. These two are going to lift that platoon's gun to ground. And this guy's going to try that other platoon.
It's not automatic.
It's not automatic. It's a skill check. Okay. Now, furthermore, you can have teams lifting gun to ground while other teams shoot. Pretty big.
Let me ask you a question about this. So, if we're saying, when do you say that you're removing gun to ground?
When does it happen? I don't remember.
I mean, I don't know if
it's right before the platoon shoots.
Okay, so
it's any time in the shooting.
This is what, because you have to declare you're shooting.
Right.
Right.
So it's before you shoot.
Yeah, it says. Hold on. Let's see.
Yeah. So here's what you do. So immediately before the rest of their platoon shoots.
Yep. Yep. You're right.
Okay.
So
you're right. Before the rest of their platoon shoots.
Yeah, but when do you do this?
U.S. tank destroyers. The whole platoon is a reconnaissance platoon. So if you've got one tank destroyer and you really want someone's gone to ground lifted, you can say this M18 is going to try to lift his gone to ground while these three are going to fire. Or towed tank destroyers. You've got bazooka carbine teams lifting gone to ground because the bazooka teams are recon teams. It says they are. The other time you might do it is say we've got our recon jeeps and our M8 armored car. We might have our jeep lift gone to ground while the M8 fires.
I'm assuming you have to declare this first.
Am I going to take, or do you say, I'm going to lift gone to ground?
Well, hold on. You declare which teams are going to try to lift gone to ground, because it says before their platoon shoots.
Yeah, but hold on. Before the rest of the platoon shoots, roll a skill test for each team attempting to reveal an enemy platoon.
Right.
So I'm guessing you have to declare.
It doesn't say you do, though. So what I'm saying is
How do I know which team is attempting to reveal an enemy platoon?
You start. You say, okay, this guy's going to attempt to... This is my question. Can you do this? I've got a three. Let's take the American recon.
Yep.
I've got three. And I'm trying to reveal John's infantry. Now, this is what I want to do.
I'm going to answer your question right here.
Okay.
Declare which enemy platoon each team will attempt to reveal before rolling to see if it was revealed. Is that what you're trying to do?
Is that what it says?
Each record team can attempt to reveal a different enemy platoon. Declare which enemy platoon each team will attempt to reveal before rolling to see if
there it you go. Revealed. So it's like shooting, but it doesn't. You don't do it at the same time as declaring shooting.
Right,
you declare before. These three teams are going to try to lift gun to ground while these three teams are going to shoot. So I'll declare they're shooting after
you're taking
I lift
a
gun
chance.
To ground.
You're taking a chance because what happens is
you can't say.
Right. Yeah, what I was thinking you would do is say, okay, I'll take this team. I'm going to attempt to lift gun to ground.
Right.
Okay, I failed it. Well, this team will now try.
Right. It's like shooting.
Yeah.
It seems like.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you get three guys, you can do it. But yeah.
I think we got it. All right, so what's next? Motorcycle reconnaissance.
I don't understand this. Motorcycle reconnaissance teams are tank teams rather than infantry teams?
Right, because that's clearing up confusion, because right now in Blitzkrieg and especially in Burning Empires is motorcycle reconnaissance teams are considered cavalry, but they have a tank team stat line, and people are just confused because...
Well, my question is, do I have to make it a opponent has tanks?
They're not armored.
Right. Okay,
no.
Gotcha. All right.
Yep. All right. Flamethrowers. You guys know the changes to flamethrowers against fully armored tank teams, and I shed a tear because I just finished my Soviet flamethrowers, and now I can't roast Panthers anymore. It makes perfect sense, though. I mean, it truly is realistic.
I personally think that they're still good. And
oh, yeah.
And, well, I think Soviets especially, because if you roll up and you're taking...
And I've got sappers coming behind, and I can knock out your defensive fire. It's worth trying.
You fire eight shots of... If you really want to roast a tank, you can get it. Ask John.
I still think they have to... I would have preferred to have seen that you can't move and shoot them.
Yeah.
And I would have preferred to see a much longer range with them. Because, especially vehicle-mounted flamethrowers. I mean, you crocodile shot forever. I mean, 100 yards.
Right.
Was the effective range of it. So,
we know about tank escorts. Cavalry got some cool changes. They can now pull their transports back, or their horses back. If they dismount, they can call their horses back, just like transports. And if they don't shoot, they basically get an Avanti or Hussar move. In the shooting step, they can roll a skill check to go an extra 4 inches, which
and that's
is pretty awesome.
Because most of the,
Yeah. I mean, you're not shooting with them anyways 9 times out of 10,
if you think about it, if you do that, if you think about this, though.
Yeah.
All right, so my cavalry, I'm a big cavalry fan. Mm-hmm. All right, so I move 10 inches, and hell, I can move right through rubble, right through woods with no penalty. All right, I move 10 inches. I take my Avanti move, and how far can I move? It says advance at the gallop. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay, so how I can move an additional 4 inches, right? All right, and then my charge distance is 8 inches, right?
I don't remember, but probably. I'd have to look at that.
All right.
I don't recall.
So I'm now moving. My charge range is 22 inches.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think
they're
about
badass,
it.
They're badass, man.
I mean, that's
they're
pretty
badass.
Pretty nice.
And they can... Basically, you can now avoid being ridden down, though, if you can jump into a building or behind a linear obstacle. Because, they still have that 8-inch death zone, but you can avoid it now if you're careful.
Right.
You can also re-roll to unpin as long as you're mounted
with
cavalry. All right, so that's pretty big. So let's try to speed up here. We got about 15 minutes left and 2 pages, but I think we can do this. All right, you can fire smoke at bunkers. We talked about that already.
Yay.
Crossing obstacles, these are anti-tank obstacles, I believe. Obstacles are slow going, unless otherwise noted. Or maybe that's all obstacles. Yeah, that's all obstacles. Okay. So they're slow going. You can gap obstacles. You know what? I'm just going to skip the obstacle stuff. Yeah, people don't play them as
much.
We'll
talk about demolition carriers another time.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Although, Goliaths got fixed, bottom line. They're much better.
We got to go move on to Luke.
This is actually the Battlefront team is calling this the Luke Melia rule, and it has cost me an incredible amount of money to bribe Phil for this. The U.S. Tank Destroyer rules have been completely revamped.
Oh, everybody they're so good. They're okay. I think U.S. Tank Destroyers are the single most, or the single unit that benefited the most from version 3.
There's no doubt about it.
They're recon platoons.
Not forced to disengage.
No more forced to disengage. Their ambush got better. It now follows the same guidelines as ambush, but it's not considered an ambush. So you can be within 4 inches in concealing terrain. All right, you get rid of your carbine teams, and they're replaced with a command team, so M18s can now actually zip around.
And then also, in addition to that, there were times before where I took two losses on my carbine teams and then got the tank destroyers out immediately. Well, I'd already lost two guys of that unit. So.
And even if you kill all the carbine teams, you then put a marker down where the platoon leader was, and the tanks just spring there next turn.
Does that count as a destroyed platoon?
No.
There you go.
They're not a destroyed platoon, my man.
Meow.
They just got
and nasty. Everybody in the unit's a recon platoon, or recon team, which means they get a reconnaissance deployment. So your tank destroyers are out leading the charge. Get a recon move, baby. All right. Truscott Trot has been clarified. Manpack to finally get to move with the double super fast. Hit them with everything you got. It's been redone. All your batteries with a staff team can combine their fire, which is awesome. 4105s, 4155s combine into a big old double wide template. Not bad. All right. Comp group. That's been changed a bit. It's by individual teams now.
I never do that.
I rarely do, but it is easier now because it's by team. Yeah. And a
if
tank,
you get to 7 platoons and you need to get to 8, there you go.
Yeah, the 2IC remains a warrior team now, too. So he's still a warrior. That's pretty sweet. Mounted Assault, as you all know, got better. Beglite guys got better because they're tank. Or, well, they changed. They're tank escorts. Armored Rocket Launchers are pretty much the same. I don't know what the difference
Clever
here is.
Clever Hans got better, didn't it?
Oh, did it? I haven't even looked
tanks
at the tanks.
Tanks and platoons, right, Clever Hans. Tanks in this platoon reroll failed bog checks to cross rough terrain and skill tests to free a bogged out tank. If they have wide tracks, the roll to free themselves after rerolling a bogging check.
Okay, cool.
So it's a little better.
All right, British. Let's talk about the night attack. So,
Frost is crazy.
So this this little summary sheet says the British. It's a British infantry list. Can elect to become always attack. To make a night attack.
Yeah, so a player commanding a British infantry company, which includes paratroopers, right, may elect to make a night attack in the mission in missions that do not use the meeting engagement rule. If they do so, it starts at night. When making a night attack, the company has always attack special rule, and all British platoons containing only infantry teams can use the spearhead special rule.
Woo-wee! I know. That's so awesome. That is a huge... You know, people were upset because the British artillery kind of lost the murder and stonk. I'd say that makes up for it. And you know what? It's because they get spearhead now, it's useful. Because as it is in version 2, why do you night attack? Except to get night.
Well,
But in most of the missions, you don't get to deploy further forward. Yeah, that's awesome. All right, there are artillery bombardments. One thing I really like, and I'm not going to go into it, they really clarified that staff battery team. You know, he basically attaches. Yeah, he gets assigned.
You have to assign the overall commander as well.
And they can also combine all their batteries on the board with a staff team, and they can share the staff team. So you can have, like we talk about, 825s
and
855s.
And do all the special
rules. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And all British batteries reroll their first failed range.
No, I don't care about that. I just thought of something else about night attack.
What you got?
So you're playing a tank company, and I'm playing British infantry.
Yes.
We're playing Breakthrough.
You auto-attack me.
I'm going to auto-attack.
Breakthrough got a little better for all tank companies,
though. I understand,
though.
But still.
But yeah, you're right.
Ugh.
Yep, in a night attack with spearhead.
If you choose to do it.
Right.
And I would do it.
It's awesome. Yeah, I love it. All right. Mike Target, any battery may reroll their first range in attempt and forces the enemy to reroll saves when using all guns repeat. All right. Soviet special rules. Well, you guys kind of know that. Now, quality of quantity got a little bit worse. It's now 15 assaulting teams.
Right. So
and remember,
so
guys way in the back. Now, Soviets do get 12 inches rather than 8 inches to charge in, but you've got to have 15 guys packed into that little little area to launch the assault.
Which I think that makes sense. I mean, you get 30 guys spread all the way across the whole nation.
I think it makes sense, but I think it's even harder to get quality of quantity now, and I don't see the payoff in quality of quantity for the most part with Soviets. I'm leaning towards one platoon. I mean, maybe late war two platoon companies, but I don't know. That's neither here nor there, and I don't know yet. I'm going to have
to try it out. Well, I think the benefit that you get with that is, and I don't want to jump too far out of the Soviet piece here, is the way your combat attachments work. So, like, if you put sappers in that platoon,
and you
put flamethrowers in that platoon, and even your 2IC and your battalion Commissar, all of a sudden you've got, you know, a 24-man, 25-man unit, whatever.
So we can jump ahead and talk about, just like Luke said, all of the combat attachments and HQ attachments that you attach out to your combat platoons just become part of the platoon for all intents and purposes.
If you guys remember that podcast we did where we just couldn't add, it was horrible. It was like 15 minutes I was trying to add.
It's so difficult.
Yeah.
On the subject of HQ support options, infantry teams must be allocated out, gun teams can be allocated out,
and
tank teams cannot be allocated out, and anybody left over in that HQ section becomes a platoon for all intents and purposes.
What about recovery vehicles, Steve?
And the 2IC becomes their platoon leader, and recovery vehicles become independent teams now.
That's fine.
All right, multi.
So you can't allocate out tank teams.
You cannot.
So that means my two CSs.
Your two CSs are a platoon of their own, led by the 2IC.
Man, so that hurts the Hermann Göring a little bit, right? Because you have
not with Hermann Göring. No, it hurts the Cromwells.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
I do like that gun teams can be allocated. You can either keep your two HQ mortars or allocate out HQ HMG. So I like that.
Yeah, they
did that well. All right,
recovery teams are fixed.
The recovery, because everyone played them as independent teams anyway. Yeah, so might as well just do it. And we did it right because we talked about it a bunch. But anyways. Multiple part platoons, like British carrier patrols, now operate as a separate platoon for every purpose. So if you buy two carrier patrols, that's two platoons. I kind of like that. It was kind of complicated. Like, now a 25-pounder battery is two platoons. You pay for it, you have two platoons. One for deployment, two for morale. Yeah.
Well, you deploy it. And that's why you have to attach out all the stuff.
Yep.
Because you got to decide what the hell's going on.
You got to decide what's going on. So they now are treated just like the armored regiment, all that good stuff. Everything is a separate unit.
Helps you out the priest list, doesn't it?
No.
It probably doesn't hurt you, at least. Well, you can't, like, put them all in ambush. If you're putting an ambush, you only get four guns in ambush.
Yeah, but I'm not going to ambush the priest anyway.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. I don't think it hurts.
I mean, because basically...
But you counted
you
that.
Know where
you,
it's going.
You counted that for one platoon for deployment, though.
That's right.
So now you have to count it as two if you want to put it down.
Yeah, I think it hurts a little bit.
I think it hurts.
All right. So with meeting engagement missions, that's more or less the same in that, you know, the first turn, everyone counts as moving, but the enemy counts as gone to ground, as John mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
In prepared positions missions, both sides start dug in. So like a no retreat, hold the line, which there isn't now, a redone hold the line. It's totally different, just same name. Even the attacker gets start dug in, which means all your artillery and stuff that you're not going to be advancing
Which is smart.
I like it. Yeah, it just saves you time. Okay, reserves. This is big. I call this the Dirty John Baber
reserves. Dirty John rule. Luke got his. I got mine.
If you roll three or more dice for reserves and you fail all of them, you get one platoon on.
Yay.
Fully armored tank teams must be selected as reserves in a fort. Now, we kind of talked about this because we thought we were jumping the gun, but that was something that was not correct. It's slightly different. Fortified companies can start with zero tank platoons on the board.
That's right.
Infantry companies can start with one fully armored tank platoon on the board if in a mission where they have to have reserves. Right. Mech is two and fully armored is three.
Yeah.
Okay. Mobile reserves allow two platoons on the table at the start of the game if there are no platoons without vehicles. So that means if you have nothing but tanks and you're defending in breakthrough, I can get two platoons on rather than just the one, like as it was before.
Yeah, which is that needed to happen.
All right, some missions quickly. Victory points are the same. Go ahead.
Before we decide the winner, John, you were asking about what do you use for a comp group.
Yeah.
Make sure I'm right on this. Victory points are the same as version 2, boo.
Right.
Except that forces with 9 or more platoons ignore their first platoon loss. So, John, if you had 8 platoons and you comp group out 2 infantry stands.
Or even 1, because you don't have to do the whole section anymore. It's by team.
And you want to keep him in the corner.
Yeah. Keep one guy way back hidden.
Save a victory point.
There you go.
Not bad when you start using reluctant, right?
You're right. You're right about that.
And you know you're going to have some issues.
Cool. Good catch. All right, so... Dust Up is one of the core missions. Now, there's 12 missions, basically.
Yeah.
There's Dust Up, which is a, you know, it hasn't, I don't think it changed any. There's Hold the Line, which is basically the current No Retreat, except the Defender gets two ambushes, and his stuff becomes delayed reserve rather than regular reserve. So it gives you an extra ambush, but pushes your reserves back.
I'll take it.
I don't like that.
There's Pincer Move, which is No Retreat. The Defender's reserves are delayed, except when his reserves arrive, they can come in on the sides of the board edge on his deployment area. I think that mission looks fun. I want to try that soon. Okay, there's Surrounded. That's a new mission. The Defender starts in the middle 24 inches of the table, and the Attacker starts on the outside 8 inches on either one. He can choose where, but both sides get everything on. So I think that could be a fun one. It could be tough. Hasty Attack got revamped. I think I mentioned the changes earlier. Basically, the Defender's reserves are scattered and delayed, and the Attacker now gets the first turn rather than the second turn, which was weird. Cauldron is no longer Cauldron. It's what was Witch's Cauldron. It's a lot different. The Defender...
And playable.
It's totally playable.
If you roll Cauldron, we're not...
We have a battle report on our site. If you look under battle report, search for Witch's Cauldron. I think we did it early war. That's what the new Cauldron is, more or less.
And that's on
WWP. Oh, I didn't even look
or
at mine.
Or
check it out on the forum or the Facebook. All right. Breakthrough, the Attacker's deployment area got reduced. And they did that so that you don't have to box them in anymore. So Breakthrough actually got a little harder for the Attacker, which is good. Because I think whenever I played that as the Attacker, I was like, I win. Yeah. You know. Counterattack is a new mission. I haven't looked at it much. It's kind of crazy. It looks a little bit like... one of the previous ones that I can't think of the name of, but it's different. And then there's also No Man's Land, which is when you have two forces with fortifications. Guys, we're through that whole document now.
Yeah, I hope
that wasn't too rough for you. I hope you could keep up with us, but there are a lot of changes in version 3. That is really just scratching the surface.
So as we said earlier, please, if you have any questions, you have any comments, get on the forum. Get on the forum. If you don't belong to our forum, get on there.
Yep.
It's not like so many other forums that you see out there that people are nasty. This is a great, informative, helpful thing, especially with this. We've said it. We're all noobs right now going into this. You're going to teach us stuff. We hope we can teach you a few tips and tricks and things like that. But use the forum as a good thing. And then also, more than likely we'll be pulling – we do it all the time. We'll be pulling things off the forum. That was a big question.
Yep.
Or a topic of conversation. So make sure you use that forum. Make sure you're on there. Check out our new battle reports that we have coming up. You might point out some things that we did wrong. Steve and I are playing a game tomorrow at 9 a.m. apparently.
That is correct. I'm ready.
I'm ready to do it. Boom.
It'll be fun. And I plan to start putting together a series of videos walking through version 3. I got to think about through the breakdowns, but it'll probably be like an overview video, movement video, shooting and allocating hits and assaults and kind of all that good stuff. I'll try to get those up fairly soon. There's a new version of Final Cut Pro for any of you video nerds out there, and it's very good. That was terrible. We need to evacuate the studio now. Thanks, Luke. All right, so anything else, guys? I know this was a very, very version 3 oriented, but would you guys want it any other way? I don't think so.
That's right. You want to know, and we're the place to tell you.
Yes. I will say on that note, as of today, I'm going to reduce the cost on the Noob Zone compilations to $1 a piece. So they're going to become the same price as After Hours. And basically, they're all very version 2 specific. And frankly, if you listen to them expecting version 3 help, you'll be wrong. So if you want to listen to them for historical purposes or whatever, you can get them for $1. There's still a little bit of banter. And if they stop selling for a while, I'll just drop them, in the future. So they will be reduced in price. Anything else? Any other administrative stuff we got to say?
Get ready for After Hours, because we are going to be talking some strategy.
We really are. I've got a lot of wheels turning.
I've got my stuff. You got your stuff. We got a lot of stuff going on. We're going to have some counterpoints, and I hate to sound like a used car salesman, guys, but we just couldn't cram anything more right now.
Dude, I know.
I mean, we just couldn't.
We barely got through this in the time allotted.
Right. So look forward to After Hours, and we're going to continue this, and we're going to start talking strategy.
All right, we will see you next time. So until next time, keep calm and carry on.
Thanks for listening to News from the Front, the podcast by gamers for gamers. Please remember that our opinions are ours and do not necessarily represent the views of the companies mentioned within. You can find us literally everywhere on the internet at wwpd.net, YouTube and Twitter with the username wwpdpodcast, Facebook, MySpace, YourSpace, Friendster, Makeout Club, and of course, the Bacon Enthusiast online community. You can find Luke elsewhere on the web, but he's asked me not to share those links with you. Do remember to visit our website at wwpd.net for a plethora of after-action reports, painting tutorials, and product reviews. Click on Join This Site on the right-hand side to get an RSS feed of new posts so you can stay up to date and impress your friends. We also have a thriving forum so you can come interact with fellow WWPDers with minimal moderation. Feel free to email us at ourfirstname@wwpd.net. That's Stephen with a V, John without an H, and Luke without scruples. Again, thank you for listening.